Friday Night Football. It's time for high school football action on WGRC. Tonight's game is being brought to you by the generous donations of the following Thunder Riders.
Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Steininger's Laundry, Vreeland's Harley-Davidson, Basin Coffee Roasting, Better Business Solutions, CR Builders & Sons, Marks McLaughlin & Dennehy Attorneys, Horizon Federal Credit Union, Jeff Connor & Associates Insurance, J.R. Judd Violins, Culp's Transmissions, Melcott Radiator, Millville HPS, Pine Barn Inn, Pondus Farms.
Now let's head to the field for this week's game.
And glad to have you joining us for week four of the high school football season right here on WGRC. I'm Don Castelline, Zach Guggenheim, and Steve Bisch joining me tonight for tonight's presentation of high school football. Mifflinburg, the Wildcats, are in Danville to take on the Ironmen. Should be a wonderful night for football. Definitely have those temperatures almost feeling a little pre-fall-like here, and, well, the conditions are dry. And I do want to welcome Zach to the broadcast booth. This is your first time joining us on high school football coverage here in Pennsylvania's Heartland. I know you love your football. It's great to have you joining us tonight.
Yeah, it's exciting to be here. I think this is going to be a really good matchup. Excited to see the quarterbacks, both seniors. It's going to be a great night for football.
Absolutely. So we'll be having all the action for you tonight. And joining us on the sideline, Steve Bisch. And Steve, got yourself a nice night to be out and about. And indeed, we're starting to get some of the energy. I know the stands fill up pretty quickly here in Danville, of course.
The home stands for the Danville side are packed. Great turnout tonight. Perfect night for football. Just a little breeze, nothing that'll impact the game. It's perfectly dry. It's a great night for football.
Well, we have a lot to talk about here tonight, and this is a game of particular interest as Mifflinburg off to a 3-0 start. It's been a little while since they can say that, and this no doubt expected to be their toughest challenge to this point. Danville coming in tonight 2-1, and Danville coming away with some tight ball games at the end. And Zach, you know, when you have some of those games that go right down to the end, a couple weeks ago we had their last moment loss to Loyal Sock, but they had a opening win against Shikellamy that was right down to the end as well. Those kind of experiences are helpful. To this point, Mifflinburg's not been in that kind of game right down at the end.
Yeah, and I think that you really see the character of a team in those environments when you have those close games. So it'll be interesting if, just as this game plays out, if it's a close game, how is Mifflinburg going to respond? How are their players going to respond? You know, they're off to a great start. They've had these great wins, but how are they going to respond to adversity?
So we'll be finding out a little bit more about our teams tonight that we're featuring, Mifflinburg and Danville. We'll be hearing from the coaches in just a bit. There are other games, of course, happening that we'll be tracking the scores. John Callahan producing tonight. He'll have that scoreboard for us, including undefeated Montoursville as they will host Warrior Run tonight. Lewisburg plays at Milton, the Tomato Bowl, the annual event between those two teams. And thinking about some of the rivalries, you know, you can look at Lewisburg and Milton as one of those. Steve, how about Sealands Grove at Shikellamy? Really never matters what the records are. When those two teams get together, it's usually quite a war between those two.
Well, you think back over the years, there have been some great football played between those two high schools, and you're right, Don. It doesn't matter what the record is. That's an intense rivalry.
Also tonight, can anyone slow down Southern Columbia? Well, Shamokin, they'll try it tonight, see if the Indians can slow down the Tigers at all. Jersey Shore plays at Mount Carmel. Those are just some of the games we'll be telling you about through the course of our Week 4 presentation of the High School Football Game of the Week. We'll take a break here. When we come back, we'll check in with Mifflinburg Wildcats head football coach Jason Dressler, getting you set for what should be a good one. It's Mifflinburg at Danville, the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Serving Snyder County and much of central Pennsylvania is the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, located along Route 35 just west of Mount Pleasant Mills in the lower level of the Family Practice Center. Pharmacist Terry Trutt and his staff provide answers about prescription medications while also stocking remedies for seasonal and general ailments. Shade Mountain Pharmacy at 570-539-2050, a supporter of WGRC.
Vreeland's Harley-Davidson of Bloomsburg is supporting WGRC. Since 1990, they've been selling new and used bikes, parts, and accessories. Their on-site service department performs repairs, restorations, and customizations. In-house financing is available. Bike storage is offered from November through April. located along Route 11 with hours Monday through Saturday. Their phone number is 570-784-2453. On the web at VreelandsHarley.com.
Underwriting WGRC is Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. For over 55 years, Steininger's has provided dry cleaning service for area residents, caring for all types of garments. Steininger's also cleans and preserves wedding gowns. Featuring drive-through service at 4 Commerce Avenue in Hummel's Wharf and 7th Street in Lewisburg. Also located at 107 West Pine Street in Sealands Grove. And featuring additional drop-off locations in Middleburg, Mifflinburg, Northumberland, and Sunbury. And at Lingle's Market in Watsontown. Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. Glad to support WGRC.
Friday Rock!
WGRC's Football Friday features top matchups from around the region. It's the high school football game of the week on WGRC.
Should be another fun-filled night of high school football on WGRC. Don, Zach, and Steve along with you from Danville High School as the Ironmen playing host to the Mifflinburg Wildcats. Well, Mifflinburg coming in tonight 3-0, the record, wins over Hughesville, Bloomsburg, and Milton. And in fact, all of those games are pretty lopsided. So looking forward to seeing how they stand up against the test of the Ironmen tonight on the road. I did talk to Coach Jason Dressler, who's pumped up and excited about a 3-0 start.
It's very exciting, very energetic. The kids, the school, the community, everybody's fired up about it. The wonderful start that we're having here to the season. And you're right, we do have a good test coming up here with Danville this week. So, we're anxious, we're excited, and ready to do it.
I know you guys have had a lot of success on the ground. You've got some big backs there, really getting some yardage and so forth. Tell me a little bit about what makes you guys so effective moving the football on the ground.
Well, I think what we're trying to do as we're growing here, you know, like most schools, you come into this season expecting one thing, but, you know, you work into finding your identity and, you know, being able to spread the ball around. Last week we had 7 touchdowns and 7 different guys scored. So being able to do that to try to maintain balance on defenses, you know, that are against us is crucial. But we're just seeing a truly team effort. You know, our kids are very selfless and they're stepping up to the plate and we're just feeding off of one another and just trying to utilize everybody's strengths and put them into positions to find success and seems to be working for us.
Who are some of the leaders that you're really pointing to as individuals that the other guys are looking to as you're trying to encourage everyone to use their skill set and to build on their strengths? Who are some of those players that you're really seeing as stepping up and leading?
Well, you know, we're seeing a variety. One of those is Gary DeGroat, our quarterback. He's been playing here for 4 years. His experience coming in, and he's just showing more growth and more maturity this year. So a lot of young guys are looking to him, as well as Riley Stahl. Riley also has 4 years of experience under his belt and just knowledge of the game on both sides of the ball. He's been playing well. So looking for them just to find ways, you know, on the field, as well as help coach up the young guys. Mason Breed has demonstrated through his example by play how effective he is and just, you know, working hard and just showing his heart out there on the field. You know, on the offensive line, we have senior Tyler Camp and junior Kate Dressler working with the young guys, trying to communicate on the line and build up the offensive line to show improvements there. So, you know, leadership is coming from a variety of guys. Like I said, we truly have a good group of selfless guys. And again, we keep working week to week, trying to build leadership as well. And, you know, everybody has that opportunity to show it and demonstrate it. And we're just trying to use it in a positive way.
When you think about the road trip to Danville, of course, the Ironmen coming in 2-1, they've been playing in some tight ball games. They've got that kind of experience this season. I know they've got a lot of, distractions is the right word with the program, but trying to rally through some of the off-field type things that are happening there at Danville. When you look at their program, yeah, how do you kind of sum them up right now?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there are those that outside noise is going on, but the one thing I know about kids at Danville is they're competitors. So they're when that kickoff happens, they're there to compete and they're there to play. So we're expecting, a good game. It's always been a good game against Danville and a competitive game. And, we're going and approaching it like we did the first 3 weeks. We're trying to keep the focus on what we can control and working on how we can improve and what we need to do better. And we're looking to, come in Friday night to be be confident and play physical football against a good opponent.
Well, Coach, we're looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun, and thanks for the time.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Don, and the WGRC listeners. I'm looking forward to another exciting Friday night.
Head football coach Jason Dressler of the Mifflinburg Wildcats. And, Zach, you know, he was talking about some of the guys that have been performing well and leading the way. And when you look at the ground game, of course, Mason Breed jumps right up to the forefront as a senior. He's been carrying a big part of the load so far.
Yeah, and he is a load. 5'11", 235 pounds, and he's averaging 8 yards a carry. He's going to be tough to stop, but they're going to need to find a way to free up holes for him to run through. So I'm excited to see how he does, how DeGroat does in the run game, but also in the pass game as well.
That's right. They've not really had to throw the ball much. Coach talked about that as well. But the opportunity, Wildcats are actually looking forward to getting that pass game started here. They feel we'll need to be balanced tonight. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk Danville Ironman football next. It's the high school football game of the week on WGRC.
This is Brad from Basin Coffee Roasting in Danville, and I am thrilled to support the WGRC radio ministry.
Basin Coffee serves the entire region by wholesaling roasted coffee to restaurants, coffee shops, and churches, offering community fundraisers and private label coffee for gifts, weddings, or resale. At 570-764-2740. Online at HebrewsTheBest.com from Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness.
Underwriting WGRC Friday Night Football is Better Business Solutions of Danville, providing sales and service of personal computers and the software that makes them function, offering support for both the home and business user. Better Business Solutions, located on the web at wearebbs.com. Their telephone number is 570-275-5844.
Serving the residential and commercial construction needs of Pennsylvania's heartland is CR Builders & Sons of Northumberland, providing single room and full structural remodeling, as well as repairs and handyman services. Projects include custom homes, additions, decks, and patios. The telephone number is 570-551-6711 or on Facebook at CR Builders & Sons LLC, a proud supporter of programming on WGRC.
It's the high school football game of the week on WGRC.
And here tonight, our game of the week at Danville is the Ironmen playing host to the Mifflinburg Wildcats. Thanks for joining us tonight. We heard just moments ago from Mifflinburg head football coach Jason Dressler guiding his team here to a 3-0 start. Mentioned about some of those key playmakers, Gary DeGrotis, quarterback Mason Breed as well, Riley Stahl, a wide receiver who's really been DeGroat's favorite target, you know, of the passing yards that he's had. Riley Stahl with about 90% of the receiving yards. He has been a go-to guy for sure, so we'll be watching him to see how much they target Riley early on.
Yeah, I think that he'll be the big play guy if they're able to get that passing game going.
And one of Danville's strengths, of course, is in that secondary, so it should make for some interesting matchups here tonight. Well, Danville is coming in with a 2-1 record. It was a close opening win against Shikellamy. Then week two, we had the excitement of a game that went right down to the end. And just when you thought it was over, it wasn't over. Loyal Sock pulled out a win in week two against Danville. Danville did bounce back a week ago to top Warrior Run to get off to that 2-1 start. Of course, Danville has been in the news. It's been unfortunate, Steve. I know we have been covering football for a long time, and I believe for, the last 11 seasons, Jim Kaiser has been the head football coach here at Danville, but that is no longer the case. His resignation was submitted on Monday. And, Steve, you know, that kind of turmoil, I guess, can be definitely distracting and something for coaching staffs to work through.
Well, it's a challenge to be sure. I mean, not only for the coaches, but for the kids. I'm sure loyalties are being divided. And, you know, the shame is the kids get caught in the middle of something like that. But I did talk to Brian Raup, ask him how things went. He said he's been amazed at how the team has pulled together. They had a good week. And he was very optimistic. So, you know, let's hope that we can put differences aside and do what's best for the kids.
So that's exactly where I start my interview with head football coach. Well, I shouldn't say head football coach. He is co-leading the team with Chris Coombe, but Brian tonight is going to be sharing the interview. Brian Raup, he's the defensive coordinator, and again, he'll be the acting head coach on the sidelines tonight. I opened up my first question just talking about the situation that's been here at Danville this week.
Well, as we talk football, and we're going to dive into some of what's going to happen on the field, I do know Danville has had some off-the-field news. Of course, Jim Kaiser resigning from the team. You and Chris are working together to coach. I know when you go through some adversity and situations like this that aren't expected, it's opportunities to grow and work together and rally a team together. What's the experience been like working with Chris and just trying to have everyone on the same page moving forward?
Well, that's the nice part. You know, I've been coaching on this staff. This is our 11th year. So, you know, Chris and I are definitely on the same page, which makes it a lot easier to really help maintain focus throughout the week, especially every Friday. So, you know, just that relationship over the years has really helped keep everything together.
Are you feeling as though the players are doing well with that and doing their best to stay together as a team through this?
Absolutely. The kids have done a tremendous job. I mean, just to be able to battle in the games that we've been in so far and to remain focused is a testament to them. They've really done a good job just really focusing one day at a time, one week at a time, which has been our mantra lately.
Well, your team is 2-1, and you mentioned about getting through the battles. You guys have had those tight ball games. I know a close win against Shikellamy on the first one and then a tight loss to Loyal Sock, but having that kind of experience deep into the fourth quarter, do you feel that really helps set things up as you continue through the rest of the season?
Absolutely. I mean, it helps the kids understand that they can keep battling and still be in games. So whether we started off well or not, you know, they can really make sure that they stay focused throughout the game because they still have a chance to be in it at the end.
When you look at Mifflinburg coming to your place, they're 3-0, but maybe this road test at Danville may be their biggest test so far this season. What do you see about Mifflinburg that you guys are really trying to be prepared for?
Really, it's their run game. I mean, Breed has been really running the ball well. He's a hard downhill runner. He's a big kid, tough to tackle. And also their quarterback, DeGroat, really does a nice job on his feet when he rolls out of the pocket. He can look to pass, but he's not afraid to tuck it and run.
You have some playmakers of your own on offense for sure, and defense as well. When you look at just the playmaking ability that you have with KJ at quarterback and Ian and Carson Persing, others as well that can spring the big play. Just talk a little bit about that explosiveness that you guys still have on offense.
Yeah, I mean, that's the nice part. I mean, when you have a leader like we have in KJ Riley who's able to do it in the air and on his feet at any point in time, it just gives you a very big threat. And then obviously last week kind of flipped the tables a little bit. You know, Carson was really the receiver week two against Little Sock, and Ian last week against Warrior Run. You know, either one of them at any point in time can break free and have a huge game for us. And it's nice to have multiple weapons to replace what we lost last year.
I know Danville, like many teams, the roster may not be deep in numbers, so you're trying to certainly get through the whole season and not have maybe the depth that you'd like to have. But I know week two, we announced your game, and unfortunately saw Jacob Shingara, your starting right guard and nose tackle, go down to a serious leg injury, and I know he's working back through that. Just take me to what you guys have done to try and shore up and anchor that line and try and fill that void as best as you can.
Well, since that game, we've gotten Gabe Birdley back from late season injury last year. So he's been able to fill in and help us out on both sides of the ball. And then also in addition is Tyler Artley has done a really nice job stepping in at nose guard and gives us a different look there. So we have had guys step up and come back and really help fill that void for us.
Well, Coach, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. It should be a great matchup. We're looking forward to it. Mifflinburg at Danville. Coach, I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you very much.
And that would be, again, coaching with the Danville Ironman, Brian Raup, his team 2-1 coming into this matchup here tonight. And we mentioned earlier about how Mifflinburg's been, you know, run heavy on the number of plays and the yardage. When you look at Danville statistically, Zach, they can go both run and through the air as well.
Yeah, I'm really impressed by a number of players. Junior quarterback KJ Riley is—he's averaging almost 200 yards passing, but he's also averaging almost 5 yards a rush. And so that to me, he's a dual threat guy. He's really good with his feet. Jagger Dressler is also—he's a really, really talented runner. He's upright, 6'2", 170 pounds, averaging nearly 7 yards a carry. But then they've got two really good wide receivers, the Persing brothers, Ian and Carson. Carson in particular, he's been the big play guy. He's averaging about 18 yards a catch.
And guess what, league? 4 years of Carson coming up because he's a freshman.
Yeah, he's it's amazing. He's small, but he is quick and flashy. We were watching him run routes in practice, and he's got incredible speed.
Steve, doing games for a long time, we've been doing it together, and we've seen certain families just seem to have multiple guys. It feels like that name stays a part of football for a long time for us, and Persing here in Danville would be one example of one of those.
It seems like decades of them.
So we're looking forward to some more years of that. Ian is the junior, big playmaker himself. He's one of the co-captains on the team, and then Carson, as we've been talking about, a freshman as well. So a lot of great names we'll be introducing you to, the guys that paved the way on the line as well. Plenty to talk about. We're getting closer to the kickoff. Mifflinburg is on the field. Danville making their way here very soon. Let's take another break. We'll be back with more. Get you set for week 4 of the high school football season. It's Mifflinburg at Danville on WGRC.
Robert Marks Sr. of Marks, McLaughlin & Dennehy, attorneys at law in Danville, is pleased to support WGRC's presentation of the District 4 High School Football Game of the Week. Providing guidance for cases such as personal injury, automobile accidents, criminal defense, real estate, wills, and adoptions. Located at 48 West Market Street in Danville, Marks, McLaughlin & Dennehy, attorneys at law. 570-275-3411.
Supporting WGRC is Horizon Federal Credit Union, serving residents throughout North Central Pennsylvania, providing a range of banking services, including interest-bearing checking accounts, as well as auto, home equity, and mortgage loans. Online and mobile banking are available, with branch locations in Williamsport and Lock Haven, and ATMs elsewhere in Lycoming and Clinton counties. Online at horizonfcu.org.
Agent Jeff Connor and the staff at the Allstate Insurance Company in Lewisburg are sponsoring WGRC, featuring 24-hour customer service and online policy access, providing a wide range of Allstate Insurance products. They also offer investment advising and financial management services. Jeff Connor's Allstate Insurance office at 1524 West Market Street in Lewisburg at 570-523-9500. And at agents.allstate.com.
Top matchups from around the region. It's the high school football game of the week on WGRC's Football Friday.
And we think we've got a good one lined up here tonight as it's Mifflinburg at Danville. The Wildcats 3-0. Again, Danville tonight 2-1 entering this matchup. And other games happening tonight. We mentioned we'll be following the scores, including Bloomsburg playing at Loyal Sock tonight. Warrior Run, they will travel to Montoursville. Big test there for the defenders as Montoursville undefeated, looking like one of those powerhouse programs in the area this year. And by the way, next week, we'll have an opportunity to have Warrior Run at Mifflinburg. So we'll have that next week. But we've got plenty to do this week. It's Mifflinburg at Danville here for some high school football action. And we're getting close to the opening kickoff here. And Zach, you're new to the broadcast team. So again, welcome in. Glad to have your insights here. And I'm just going to let, I know we're in Penn State country, but we should probably just get it out there that you are a big Ohio State Buckeyes fan, correct?
I am. Okay. I am. You mentioned Southern Columbia earlier, and Ohio State has a big recruit coming out of there in Julian Fleming. So,
but where I was kind of going with this is we're in Danville, and you know when you look at Danville, you just see the uniforms, the flash of orange come out. What college team comes to mind?
A team that beat Ohio State 31-0 a few years ago, Clemson Tigers.
The only thing you're missing is the paw print on the helmet.
Yeah.
All right, so now that I've got you a little bit unsettled here, we'll get Zach a little rattled. We want to see how he handles the pressure. And we're going to come back with that opening kickoff. We're going to take a 30-second break, also station identification. And we'll have Mifflinburg at Danville here tonight, the Friday Night Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
A proud sponsor of WGRC is J.R. Judd Violins. J.R. Judd has been specializing in the restoration, repair, and sales of fine-stringed instruments and their bows since 1989. Located at 1964 Lycoming Creek Road in Williamsport, J.R. Judd Violins carries a complete line of instruments and accessories for string players of all ages and proficiencies. From Psalm 150, praise him with the strings and the flute. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. J.R. Judd Violins, on the web at jrjuddviolins.com. Or by phone at 321-8070.
Listener supported.
WGRC Lewisburg.
WJRC Lewistown.
WCRG Williamsport.
WZRG Culpmont.
And WGRC.com.
Well, we have the captains at the center of the field and the Mifflinburg Wildcats. They will be receiving the football first. And captains out there for Danville include Joey Harris, also out there Ian Persing. And we did mention about Jacob Shingara, the lineman, right guard, nose tackle. While he's not going to be able to play, he had that injury 2 weeks ago, and Coach talked about being able to work through that injury situation. It's nice to see him able to go out with his teammates there. I know just recently getting onto the crutches and at least have him be a part of the team in that way, I'm sure it must mean something special for him.
Yeah, I think whenever you lose a captain, someone who is just instrumental to your team, when their presence is sometimes just as important as their presence on the field, their presence to be on the bench and to be out there with the teammates. I think that's going to be huge for them.
Well, special teams are on the field now, and we're getting set for that opening kickoff, and the Mifflinburg Wildcats will be receiving it first here tonight, and back deep for them will be Stahl and Deal, looking for big play potential. What Mifflinburg would be on the return game there, and set to kick off for the Danville Ironmen will be KJ Riley. He's got a good leg and set to get things started here in just a moment. So we're ready for high school football, Steve. We're right here at the kickoff and the atmosphere. I know those stands, what seats were open, they're pretty much getting filled up.
It's packed right now. Great turnout for this game.
Used to seeing that here at Danville, and tonight no exception. So thanks for joining us. You can kick back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Friday Night Football Game of the Week. Don, Zach, and Steve here at the field. John producing. He'll have the scores for us tonight. And we're ready for that kickoff. And Riley drives an end-over-end kick, and it sails into the end zone. It's going to be a touchback. Mifflinburg will start it off on the 20-yard line. Let's go ahead and introduce you to the Mifflinburg Wildcats on offense. On that left side of the line, one of the captains, a senior, Tyler Camp. Coach says he's one of the hardest workers on the team. Also, left guard, Gabriel Stettler. The center is Emmanuel Ulrich. On the right side of the line, Cade Dressler, Ian Murray, and the tight end, Lucas Whitaker. He is a freshman. Gary DeGroat, the senior quarterback. He's completed about 60% of his passes. He's a four-year starter for the Wildcats. The backfield, Mason Breed, get used to hearing that name. Andrew Deal as well. And your wide receivers, Kenny Strobridge and Riley Stahl. Again, Stahl, the senior, big playmaker on the outside. First down and 10. One in motion, that's Stahl. It's going to be a handoff. It's going to go to Breed, and Breed gets to about the 21-yard line, and he is going to be turned back there. It's going to be a gain of about two, I guess. They're going to give him to the 22-yard line, second down and 8.
Really good at collapsing the middle. I think it was Gabe Benjamin on that stop. Really good play to start for the defense for Danville.
We'll introduce you to those Danville Ironmen defensive players in just a moment. Here comes second down. Danville playing a 3-5 defense up front for them. The ends, Tyler Seamus and Brady Hill. Gabe Erdley, he's the nose tackle again. They're glad to have him back at 6'2", 290, filling in for the injured Jacob Shingara. Outside linebackers, Joey Harris, Ian Persing, the inside linebackers, Colton Sidler, Mason Rout, Gabe Benjamin. The corners are Persing and Smiley, and Miller's the safety. Here's a third down carry, and across the 30-yard line, that's going to be first down yardage for Mifflinburg. And there you see Breed just making those legs turn. He's tough to bring down.
Boy, they had him, it seemed, dead to rights at the 29-yard line, but he just kept plowing forward. He's really good at falling forward, getting extra yardage.
He's accomplished wrestler as well, and he's just got that low center of gravity, and he is powerful. So off to a good start. Mifflinburg on the ground. It's been their bread and butter. They're on the 34-yard line, just underway. First quarter action, no score. Stall in motion. Here's the pitch. This time, it's coming deal the near side, and he is not going to get close to the corner at all. Running him down is Joey Harris, and that's going to be a loss of about 5 yards for Mifflinburg. It's going to set up a second down and 15.
I think it's important for Mifflinburg to stay on schedule, not to have plays like that. They're having trouble getting to that second level, blocking those five linebackers, and I think they're going to have more success running north and south rather than trying to go wide.
So now second and 15 from the 29-yard line. Fakes the handoff, back to throw, DeGrote. DeGrote rolls to his right, throws, and tipped off the hands of his intended target, and it falls incomplete. It's going to be now third down and 15 coming up.
That was a tough play. He had him open, but he threw him a little behind, and because of that, he couldn't get both hands on the ball.
Intended for Lloyd on that last incompletion, Logan Lloyd. So the third down and 15, 9:53 to go in this first quarter. You're listening to High School Football Action on WGRC. Mifflinburg with the first series of the game started on their 20. Right now they have it on their 29-yard line. From the shotgun, DeGrote, and penalty flags come out. You could see an unsettled start to that play. And they're going to march it back 5 yards.
You know, Steve mentioned earlier, it's good for them to run north and south, that they probably shouldn't try to go wide as much. This is going to be a real test for them when they're behind the chains. How do they respond? What can they do to get back on schedule?
That's going to be a big play here needed to advance those chains. They need 15 yards, have to get it up to the 44. So here's Mifflinburg, one receiver each side. It's now third down and 20. From their 24-yard line. Handoff. It's going to be Breed. Breed's to the 30. He's to the 35, and he's brought down there. So a gain of 11 yards, but it will be nine shy of the first down. Fourth and nine coming up. Mifflinburg forced to punt.
Joey Harris brought him down. Joey Harris is a linebacker, 5'5", 160 pounds, and just brought Dressler down. That was a very impressive play.
Yeah. So,
here comes the punting unit for Mifflinburg, and this will be Antoniuk set to kick. It's a high kick. It kind of floats to about the 30-yard line of Danville and wrapped up quickly. Good coverage as Carson Persing didn't have any time at all, and he's going to be brought down at the 32. That is where Danville will have it, first down and 10.
Does a really good tackle to keep him from advancing the ball. I think that was Strobridge who brought him down.
Here come the Danville Ironmen on offense and running their wing tee on the left side of the line. Tyler Seamus and Gabe Benjamin. Joey Rinaldi's the center. Right guard, Gabe Erdley. Brady Hill's the right tackle. Colton Sidler, one of the captains. He's the senior tight end. KJ Riley, captain. He's a junior quarterback. Some impressive numbers. 6 touchdowns, 1 interception. He runs as well. He's going to hand off here on first down. Gives it to Harris, and Harris, not much there. Stood up right in the middle of the line. So Harris starting at fullback. Jagger Dressler is the running back, and Ian and Carson Persing, expect those guys in the passing game starting tonight for Danville.
Really good start for the Mifflinburg defense, collapsing that the line and getting a stop at second and 10. So really good for them to start quick on the defensive side of the ball.
Mifflinburg running a 3-4. We'll tell you about their starters in a moment. It's second down, and we're going to say second and 10. Maybe picked up a half yard on that last play. It's going to be under center. KJ Riley, quick screen play to the near sideline. Completes it to Carson Persing, and he's going to pick up about 5. They're going to mark him down at the 37. Mifflinburg up front. Kate Dressler, Emmanuel Ulrich, and Michael Antoniuk. And the linebackers, Riley Stahl, Ethan Hoy, Mason Breed, Nathaniel Rosen. The corners, Strobridge and DeGrote. Free safeties, Jacob Wrights, and the strong safety, Andrew Deal.
On that play, Carson Persing, you can see his quickness. He was able to just kind of shimmy up for a few yards past his blocker.
Third down and 4 coming up here for Danville. Riley pitches it near sideline, room to the 45 into midfield as Jagger Dressler moves the chains for a first down. Danville on their own 49-yard line.
It was great.
Old, excuse me, just an old-fashioned quick pitch. There wasn't even a blocking at it. It was more like a basketball screen, but got the corner and made an easy first down.
So now it is Danville coming up first down and 10 from their 49-yard line. No score. This is Danville's first series tonight. 7:46 to go in the first quarter. Trips far side, one receiver near side, and now Riley into the shotgun. Quick pass to the left. It's caught. Cross midfield to the 45 of Mifflinburg and down right about the first down marker, and a penalty flag comes down as well as Jagger Dressler with the catch. We'll check on this penalty flag. If the play stands, is right about, it looks like he would have the first down. They're going to place it real close to the Mifflinburg 40. So Danville often moving, but instead it's going to be a hold. So that derails what would have been a first down for the Ironmen.
I was going to say, I thought he got a good block on the outside. Of course it was a good block. It was a hold.
It cleared the way, but right there in front of the officials on the spot here tonight. So they'll back this one up. Again, Danville, very balanced as far as run pass. They came in tonight averaging just about 200 yards through the air and 162 on the ground. And we've seen both approaches already here tonight. So now it's going to be first down repeated. It'll be first down and 9 as they mark it back 10 yards from the spot of the foul. Here come the Ironmen from midfield. Riley, under center, hands it off. And it's going to be Harris just threading his way forward for maybe about a yard and a half, maybe give him 2 to the Mifflinburg 48.
It's a little inside give to Harris, and didn't fool him, just stopped him right in his tracks.
So Mifflinburg looking to come up with a stop. Second down and 7 right now for the Ironmen. Beautiful night for some football. It's cloudy, but very comfortable as far as those temps. Has a little bit of a fall-like feel here tonight, week 4 of the high school football season. Second down and 7. Riley under center. He's got 2 in the backfield. 2 receivers split out near side. They're working left to right. Riley rolls to his right, looking downfield, throws, and just overthrows Carson Persing. Had him open by a step on the side, near sideline. It's going to now set up 3rd down and 7.
A little out pattern by Persing, and he ran into the sideline and was smart enough to turn it upfield. That's a good heads-up play for a freshman.
So now 3rd down and 7 for the Ironmen, and we saw earlier that Mifflinburg struggling to get that 3rd down conversion. We'll see how Danville fares, and of course Mifflinburg looking to try and get that football back. Wildcats coach Jason Dressler says defense the key, staying disciplined. See how they do here on this 3rd down and 7 challenge. Danville on the Mifflinburg 48-yard line. One player in motion is Ian Persing. Riley almost lost the snap, hangs on to it. Now he turns the corner. 40, 35, and 30-yard line. A busted play turns into a big play and a first down for Danville.
That was really, you really see KJ Riley's speed and quickness there, because they had 2 defenders coming at him. I thought they had an angle on him, but they was able to outrun them down the sideline. Got about a gain of 15 yards.
Yeah.
He bobbled the snap, and the defensive end took a quick step inside looking for a fumble, and that's all he needed. He got the corner and made an easy first down.
The athleticism of the quarterback here. Now Danville's going to spread it out for 1st down and 10 from the Mifflinburg 28. 2 receivers each side. 1 back is Joey Harris. Riley's in the shotgun. Now they're going to bring it trips near side with 1 player in motion. That's Dressler. Riley's going to keep it himself, going left. Spins. Breaks free of a tackle. Now powers his way to the 20.
Really tough run by KJ Riley, breaking through a couple of tackles. He's got some speed, but he's also got some power in those legs too.
So a big first down carry leaves a 2nd down and short. 2nd and 1 coming up for the Ironmen. Have it right now on the Mifflinburg, just inside the 20-yard line. A year ago, it was all Danville in this matchup, a 31-3 victory for the Ironmen here tonight. Mifflinburg coming in 3-0. Danville at 2-1. Looking forward to seeing how this one plays out. 2 receivers each side. Riley in the gun. Takes the snap. High one. Gathers it in. Now he's going to pitch it late to Harris. Harris has got the left side. He's to the 10. Needs to break a tackle, but does not. Gets to the 8-yard line, and it was Deal I believe, with the open field tackle. But a first down for Danville.
That was a really nice play design on that pitch. They let the defensive line come in to come and get the quarterback, and that pitch just sprung him loose. And so all the defensive linemen were upfield, and it allowed Harris just to squeak by.
Andrew Deal, the freshman, with that tackle. And, you know, you think of a freshman in a moment like that. It was a solid form on that tackle, right, Steve?
Yeah, it was. That was a good tackle. Saved a touchdown.
So now first down and goal, Danville, from the 7-yard line. Handoff and wrapped up right away. Harris trying to get a couple yards. May have picked up one, but a good stop right there in the – might have been Ethan Hoy stepping up from that inside linebacker position, and it will be second down and goal still from the 7-yard line.
Starting to see a trend here. When we talked to Coach Jason Dressler, I asked him what he thought the strength of Danville was. He said their athletic ability, their speed – and just athletic ability. And so far, everything they've gained yardage on has been on the pass or outside or just great individual moves. They've had a tough time running in the middle.
Well, let's see how they do with not as much space here. It's second down and goal. They'll put it on the 8-yard line. Just one receiver, Carson Persing, near side. They're going to pitch it, and it's going to be Dressler. Loses the football and into the end zone. Let's see who's got it. Mifflinburg says they've recovered. And the officials, waiting for a confirmation, they will agree. Mifflinburg with the recovery, critical mistake. Danville fumbles as Dressler was eyeing up the goal line.
Yeah, it really seemed like he was going to cross in, but great effort by Mifflinburg just to keep with the play and make sure to pounce on that ball.
So Mifflinburg averting what could have been a early setback. They will have their second drive starting here from the Danville, or from their own 20-yard line. We've got 4:32 to go in this first quarter. No score. Mifflinburg at Danville in the Friday night high school football game of the week. Shotgun here for DeGroat. DeGroat's going to take it up the middle himself and maybe just a yard or so. Danville can strong up front. Trips DeGroat up. It'll be second down and 9.
I think a key question early in this game is, you know, Mifflinburg was able to hold them here with the fumble, the turnover. What do they do with this? You know, are they able to kind of start going down the field, start moving the ball? Otherwise, it could really be tough with Danville's speed and skill.
I formation, it's going to be to Breed, and Breed's going to get to the line of scrimmage, and he powers, kind of bounces to the outside, gets about 3 or 4, so what looked like a no gain turns into a gain of about 3 or... Let's wait on the spot here. Looks like they're going to place it right about the 24-yard line. So this will be third down and 6. Those 3 yards make a difference when you're looking at third and 9 versus third and 6 for Mifflinburg, for sure.
Yeah, he is a tough, tough runner. And he just keeps moving and churning his legs. I thought he was down, but he really just kept moving that pile. I think there were 3 or 4 Ironmen on him before he went down.
Zach, he's 235 pounds, and he's quick.
And he's the leading rusher in the region with 342 yards coming into tonight. 8 per carry, 6 touchdowns. Here's a pass to Stahl. Did he get his hands under it? And the officials say no, it will be incomplete. Underthrown. Riley Stahl went down for it, couldn't quite get his hands underneath it. How close was that, Steve?
You could hear it hit the ground. It was an easy call. He was wide open. It was just underthrown.
So a punting situation now for the Wildcats, just getting 4 on that series. And looks like Danville could be eyeing up some good field position once again. Back to kick is Antoniuk and gets off a high kick. See how the coverage is here as Carson Persing fields it at the 34-yard line. He gets to the 40 and then brought down at the 44-yard line. It's going to be a 10-yard return, and the penalty flag comes out late. Was that hands up near the face mask or block? It was kind of thrown behind where the tackle was, so this might indicate this might go against the Ironman, and it is going to be a hold on the return. So that will negate some of that gain that Carson Persing had. It'll back up the Ironman just a bit.
This is a time in the game where I think Coach Dressler from Mifflinburg is really going to have to do a good job with his kids to keep their head in the game. They haven't been up against this kind of competition. They stopped Danville, but quite frankly, they were lucky. Dressler just walked in the end zone and lost the ball. They were fortunate to recover that, but they need defensively to come up with a stand here.
28-yard line is where Danville has it. First down and 10. Riley hands it off. This is going to go to Ian Persing, and Persing across the 30 to about the 32. That's going to be a gain of 4, close to the 33-yard line.
You know, we were talking about, I think, Steve, you had mentioned the out wide. They're really doing a good job of play calling. A lot of stuff up the middle early, but then they use that to suck in the defense and get the ball out to the perimeter. It's been able to open some stuff up for Danville.
Second down and 6 now for the Ironmen. Josiah there, 33. Riley under center. Carson Persing near side. Let's see if he looks that way. No, he comes across the middle of the field, goes for Sidler. Colton Sidler, the tight end, one of the captains on this team. Good catch, and that's going to be a first down completion at the 41.
That was a strong throw, and it was a contested catch, but Sidler did a great job of making a strong catch to get that first down.
Right now, Riley off to a 3-4 completion ratio there. Completed 3 of his 4 attempts so far, and that yields a first down, first and 10 from the 41-yard line. Riley under center, takes the snap. He hands it off. It's going to be Dressler going left side. He gets the corner. He's to the 45, lunges for the 47-yard line, getting every inch he can get on that carry, and that's going to be setting up a second down and 4 scenario here for Danville.
Danville is doing an outstanding job early in this game of blocking the corners. The contain for Mifflinburg is just they're backing up. They have a handful of blocker. They're not able to shed the block, and by the time they make contact, they're 5 or 6 yards down the field. They're going to have to do something. Get off those blocks and play a little better contain.
1:20 to go here in this first quarter. No score. Danville with the ball on the 47-yard line. They've been rolling up some yardage. No points yet. Riley takes the snap, and he's going to be swallowed under and brought down just shy of his 45-yard line. It's going to be about a 2-yard loss as Riley looked like it was going to be a quarterback run, but didn't really find any kind of lane to jump into before he started to have some Wildcats hanging onto his feet. Third down and 6 now coming up for Danville.
It would be interesting to see what Danville calls here for the offensive play to try to get this first down.
Well, 2 receivers to each side. Might indicate going to the air. Joey Harris in the backfield along with Riley in the shotgun. He's going to throw to Ian Persing. Ian Persing gets the corner to midfield. He's got a first down and lunges to the Mifflinburg 47-yard line. They get the first down with 2 yards to spare.
To Steve's point before, the blocking has been so good on the corners. In the last play, on the first down play, Sidler had a great block, and on this one it was the perimeter. The wide receivers were just blocking to get Ian Persing free for that first down.
We'll see if there's time for another play. There's 5 seconds to go in this first quarter, and it looks like that will be the final play of this first quarter. So, no score, but Danville again on the move. Back with second quarter action coming up. It's scoreless. Danville hosting Mifflinburg on the High School Football Game of the Week, quarter 2, coming up.
Jesus said in John 4:14, "Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, it will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." This encouragement is brought to you by Melcott Radiator, repairing and rebuilding radiators for any size, make, and model, including antique cars, tractors, and heavy equipment. They also service diesel fuel tanks, oil coolers, heater cores, AC condensers, and Recore Charge air coolers. Our thanks to Melcott Radiator on the Old Trail in Sealands Grove at 374-2575.
Don, Zach, and Steve, all these games in the first. Sealands Grove leading Shikellamy 6-0. Lewisburg leading Milton 7-0 in the Tomato Bowl. Mount Carmel 7 and Jersey Shore 0. It's Bloomsburg and Loyal Sock knotted up at 7 apiece. Central Columbia leading Hughesville 7-0. It's Midwest 6 and Shenandoah Valley 0. And Southern Columbia 14, Shamokin 0 in the first. And South Williamsport 7 and Muncie 0. Again, all those games in the first. Step back to you.
All right, thanks, John. It's good John gets in off his off-season conditioning so he can get through those scores. And I don't think he lost his breath at all. So well done there. Appreciate that update. Here tonight, our matchup, it is scoreless. We're going to quarter number 2. Mifflinburg at Danville. Mifflinburg with just 1 first down so far, only 15 yards of offense. Danville's been rolling up the yards, 5 first downs, but no points to show for it yet, but they are on the move once again. They did have that fumble heading into the end zone on their first drive. Mifflinburg recovered it, and here now Danville, drive number 2. They are currently positioned on the Mifflinburg 47-yard line.
Danville's giving Mifflinburg a bit of a problem, not a bit, a lot of a problem, just by formation with their wideouts, their split backs, and that's creating a problem on the corners.
Riley, quick draw right up the middle, and this is to the 30-yard line, 25-yard line, and inside the 20, Joey Harris. Just a quick draw up the middle. Steve, you were mentioning about the formations, and there it was just a real quick pop right up the middle.
What they do is they have two backs, but the one back, it's not a true slot, but he's out wide, and he puts pressure on that contain, and Mifflinburg's not sure how to play, what to commit to, and that's a good example. He committed inside, and that play broke outside and went for a long gain.
So another first down for Danville as they march on, and Mifflinburg looking for a stop. It's first and 10 from the 18. Trips far side, one receiver near side. Riley from the shotgun looks right, throws. It's caught to the 15, trying to dance forward to about the 14-yard line as Jagger Dressler with the reception there on that right side, the side that they'd stacked those trips up as far as three receivers on that side. So second down now and 7 coming up for Danville.
Those screens have been really effective in those swing passes. Again, it's using every inch of the field to really cause issues for this Mifflinburg defense. One other point to Steve's point, the defensive backs have been playing so far back, and so it's hard to get contained.
Here comes Danville, second down and 7, handoff up the middle. Harris. Pushes forward close to the 10. Looks like he'll be shy of that, right about the 11-yard line. So third down and short, and Steve, right now Mifflinburg needs to find a way to come up with a stop.
Well, they do, and I think Zach made a good point. That secondary's just got to tighten up. They've got to play close. They're playing 5, 6, 7 yards off of those wide receivers and slots, and it's just pitch and catch. It's Danville's taking what the defense is giving them, and right now, they're third and about 3.
From the 11-yard line, Riley coming up under center. Pro set here with 2 in the backfield. Carson Persing, near side, split out. Back to throw. They throw it right out to Carson Persing. He's got room inside the 10, the 5, and he's just going to race it into the end zone. That is a touchdown, Danville. And again, you guys were talking about a little bit soft coverage, had about a 5-yard cushion, and that quick hitter here to the near sideline leads to a touchdown.
He was 7 yards off him. I was standing here. He was right in front of me. I looked at the corner, was 7 yards off of him, and it was just a quick pass, and then it's one-on-one.
Yeah, with a guy that quick and that fast, if you play off of him, he's gonna burn you, and if you play close to him, he's going to go right past you. Great run after the catch by Carson Persing.
So it is a big drive of 72 yards for Danville, the first points of the night. And Riley with the point after attempt. He is perfect on the season. His 8th consecutive as that one is up. And it is through with 9:58 to go in the first half. It's now Danville 7, Mifflinburg nothing on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Pulse Transmissions of Shamokin Dam. Mike Bordner, owner, is sponsoring in part tonight's WGRC High School Football Game of the Week. Since 1986, Pulse Transmissions has provided service and repair for automatic and manual transmissions for domestic and most foreign automobiles and light trucks. Open Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located near the intersection of Routes 11 and 15. Pulse Transmissions of Shamokin Dam at 743-1115.
Get fired up. The Regional High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
And tonight, Danville with the first point, 7-0, leading Mifflinburg with 9:58 to go in the first half. I'm Don Castelline, Zach Guggenheim, and Steve Bisch joining me at the field. And be listening at the halftime featured interview. We're going to hear from a guest I chatted with not too long ago. We'll find out what it's like to be involved in leading chapel at the NFL level. We'll find out about some of the story behind that as well. It's our halftime featured interview. Riley with the end-over-end kick fielded at the 3-yard line. Cross the 10, 15, 20-yard line. Stall to the 25 and then drop down at the 26. And Mifflinburg will start there with their third series of the night. So the Wildcats now coming up. Again, important here, Steve, when it comes to answering, at least stringing together some first downs, I guess, if nothing else, turn the field over here a little bit.
I think Mifflinburg is going to have to start looking at throwing a little bit on some rundowns, some play-action passes. They've had some success running, but they need some chunk plays to move the chains.
Back to throw, DeGroat. DeGroat way overthrows his intended receiver. That time wanted to find Kenny Strobridge, the senior, who's 5'6", but he could have been 7'6", and that probably still was within reach.
Yeah, I think DeGroat is 0-for-3 right now, and it's just clear he has got to be more accurate. If they're going to get back into this game, if they're going to be able to move the ball, he has got to make sure that he hits those throws.
Had some time there, missed his target. Second and 10 coming up. Mifflinburg from the 27. DeGroat's going to keep it himself. Quarterback keeper, he's going to try and get to that left side. Stiff arms the corner. He turns the corner. Nice run, and DeGroat able to use that stiff arm effectively. And it looks like he's got that first down with a yard to spare.
That was a great run by DeGroat, getting to the outside, using his speed once he got the corner to get the first down.
So Mifflinburg here on their third series of the night, now picking up their second first down. They had 15 yards combined on those first two series. Right now they've got a drive of 11 as they're now on, make it 12, as they're on their own 38-yard line. First down and 10. Two receivers near side. It's pro set, two in the backfield. Under center, DeGroat. He's going to hand it off to Breed. First one through, a little bit of a delayed handoff, and Breed looked like it was only going to be a pickup of two, but somehow he just finds a way to double whatever that number is going to be. He's now got a gain of about 5 there almost. Good stretch at the end. It's going to be second down and 5 coming up.
Mason Raup, a 5'8 freshman linebacker, did a great job. He got Breed's leg and just hung on, but he did a great job.
Sometimes that's all you can do is hang on, right? Especially with a guy the size of Mason Breed.
Kind of a picture of life sometimes, isn't it? Second down and 5 as Mifflinburg hands off. This is going to be Deal, and Deal does not fare as well as he is going to be stuck right there at the line of scrimmage, and he bounces right back from that. No lunging forward there. So now he may have gotten a half yard on it, but it's a very, very long 4 or a short 5, however you want to view it, as Mifflinburg now on their own 44.
That was Mason Raup again. Middle linebacker, 5'8" freshman. He looks small even from here, and he's doing a great job.
Three games into the season, 34 tackles, 2 picks. Not bad. Here's Breed. Breed's going to have a first down just straight up the middle, close to midfield. Gets to the 49-yard line, and here's Mifflinburg moving the chains.
They're doing a good job of just different play calls to be able to get Mason Breed a little bit of space, and that's really all he needs to get about 3 to 5 yards each time he touches the ball.
So here comes Mifflinburg. This is the first time they've strung together a pair of first downs on the same drive. We have 8:09 to go in the first half. Danville leading Mifflinburg 7-0. Here's another carry by Breed. He is spun to facing backwards, but yet the legs continue to drive, and he picked up the last 4 yards facing the opposite direction, but he gets to the 40-yard line. Big first down again for Mason Breed.
I just want to point out there was a running back, you may have heard of him, by the name of Jimmy Brown. And Jimmy Brown was a 232-pound phenom. Breed outweighs him by 3 pounds, and he's playing high school football.
First down and 10, and here's a handoff up the middle. And that is going to be Riley Stahl as he picks up, looks like about 3 or 4 yards. They're going to place this one right about the Danville 36-yard line. So second down and 6 now coming up for the Wildcats.
It's like the second or third time that they've given that inside give to the fullback, and it's the first couple times it really wasn't hitting, but the past couple times they've played it, gotten about 4 or 5 yards each time.
Steve Bish threw out the Jim Brown reference. I can't say I ever had the privilege of watching him live. Did you, Zach?
No.
I didn't think so. Okay, here comes the handoff right up the middle inside the 35. I have seen a lot of great highlights. He was a great one for sure, Steve.
Don, I could say my older brother told me about it, but I did see him play, and he was very good.
34-yard line right now for Mifflinburg as they pick up a few more there. It's going to be a gain of three, so here comes the Wildcats now facing a third down and four. Again, needing to try and extend this drive. 6:39 to go in the first half. I formation to Groat under center. Going to hand it off. Guess what? It's Breed time, and Breed gets maybe half of what was needed. Now, they could view this as four down territory as they have it on the Danville 33. They need, Steve, is that a full 2.5 yards maybe?
Oh, that's about, that's a good 3 yards, yeah. This is a big play. You have to go for it. I think just so your kids feel your confidence in them, Coach Dressler, you've got to go for it. And, it's a gut check time.
So here comes the Wildcats, fourth down and three from the Danville 33. I formation and penalty flag comes out. And was it a
timeout?
Timeout. I was going to say either a timeout or offsides. Well, we will go ahead and take a timeout as well. 30-second break with 5:59 to go. It's Danville 7, Mifflinburg nothing, but they're on the prowl with a big fourth and three coming up. Back with more in a moment.
Serving Columbia County and all of Central Pennsylvania is Millville HPS, providing solar power solutions for both business and residential, including the design and installation of solar PV systems for generating electricity. They also offer solar hot water systems to heat water for showers, pools, or to supplement home heating. On the web at MillvilleHPS.com. Their telephone number is 570-336-2617. Proudly supporting programming on WGRC.
Don, Zach, and Steve in the second. It is Warrior Run in Montoursville. They are scoreless, and Midwest now leading Shenandoah Valley 12-0 in the second. Now back to you.
All right, thanks, John. We've had a good one here. It's Danville 7, Mifflinburg nothing, but Mifflinburg right now a fourth and three from the Danville 33-yard line. Big play coming up for the Wildcats. Two near side, one receiver to the far side. DeGroat from the shotgun. He's going to look to throw. Scrambles right, throws, Stahl catching it on the sideline. Good hands by Stahl. Does he have the first down, Steve? That must just be by inches.
They're going to have to measure this. They gave it to him.
He had to get to the 30, and I think about,
it was on the 30.
So there you have it, right?
Gentlemen,
where he needed to be.
I cannot tell you what a great catch that was. That ball had a little chance of being caught in bounds, and he made that catch. That was absolutely perfect.
Stahl got his hands on it. It wasn't long till he had a Danville defender wrapped all over him, but a first down Mifflinburg, they needed that. First and 10 from now, the Danville 30. DeGroat hands off. It's Breed again. 25 on his feet. 20 to the 15. And he is going to have another first down. So Mifflinburg with five first downs on this drive. It started on their own 26-yard line. And right now, Mifflinburg knocking on the door on the Danville 15.
Breed got 6 yards after he was contacted by the defense. Kid hit him, and it was the ball came down 6 yards later. That was incredible.
Stahl and Strobridge split out to the far left. DeGroat's going to keep it himself. He's going to get some positive yardage to about the 12. Looks like a pickup of three, unless his knee got down a little. So they may only be two on this. I think his knee may have been down a little early. So they'll have it on the 13-yard line. By the way, we're getting in one of those moments where, you know, you're thinking touchdown, of course, but the field goal situation, they've got Gabe Stetler, who's pretty much a new skill set. He's one of the linemen. They needed a kicker. He's filling in. He's 9 of 11 on point after attempts. Has not tried a field goal yet. Breed up the middle to the 10. And, wow, just powers off of would-be tacklers. He was stood up straight, but then gets the momentum going again and pushes forward for a few more yards, and that makes a much more manageable now. Third down and three coming up.
Colton Sidler, who's a very, very physical player, great football player, met him in the hole and bounced back. He landed 3 yards backwards. I can't tell you when I've seen a kid like Mason Breed run a football.
Third down and three coming up. Wildcats, 4:33 to go, trailing 7-0. Breed up the middle. He is to the 5, still on his feet, pushing four Danville Ironmen to the 3. That's going to be a first down.
you know, there are some running backs that they're big, but they don't necessarily play to their weight. That is not true of Mason Breed. Just every time he is carrying the ball, he is carrying defenders. You wonder, as this game goes on, is that going to be a factor against Danville's defense? Are they going to get tired of wanting to hit a 235 running back who is coming straight at them?
He's a different breed of running back here in Mifflinburg. Mason Breed, big yardage tonight, I formation. It's going to be a handoff to the first back through, and it is a touchdown for the Wildcats as the carry that time from Ethan Hoy. Touchdown, Mifflinburg.
What a great play call that was. They had Breed in the I formation at the tailback, and it was just a quick handoff, and it literally caught Danville by surprise. You know, they were keying on Breed, and that was awfully easy.
It's almost a shame that with all of the yardage, Breed ran up. Hoy, again, great play call, caught him off guard, but he's the one that gets the points there. Here's that point after attempt. It is up, and it is right on through. So Gabe Stettler makes it 10 out of 12 on the year. It's going to be a time for a timeout. We're knotted up at 7 apiece, 4:04 to go till halftime. It's the high school football game of the week on WGRC Mifflinburg at Danville.
WGRC is grateful for the support of the Pine Barn Inn of Danville. Located at the base of Geisinger Medical Center campus, the inn's guest rooms feature Wi-Fi and individual climate control. Serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner, the Pine Barn Inn also hosts meetings, banquets, and events. Their wedding packages include planning assistance as well as lodging for the bride and groom. On the web at pinebarninn.com, their phone number is 570-275-2071.
Don, Zach, and Steve in the second at Sealands Grove and Chickalimmie knotted up at 6 apiece. Mount Carmel leading Jersey Shore 14-6 in the second, and it's Loyal Sauk 14 and Bloomsburg 7 in the second. Now back to you.
Thanks, John. Here we're tied at 7. Danville taking the kickoff. It's Carson Persing trying to stretch it to the near sideline, and he does. He gets the corner, 25-30, out of bounds at the 32. He caught it on the far side of the field, right about his own 5-yard line, and kind of drew it all the way back to the near side of the field. So that is going to start the Danville Ironman. They'll place it right about the 33-yard line. So Danville ready to go, first down and 10. So we saw Mifflinburg answer the touchdown from Danville. Now Danville has the opportunity to do the same. Ironman coming up here again. A 2-1 record as they host this week 4 matchup. Mifflinburg, a rare 3-0 start. Wins over Hughesville, Bloomsburg, and Milton. But here tonight, their stiffest test of the season so far. Right now, we're knotted up at 7. Here's a quick handoff and dropped at the 35-yard line as it was Ian Persing that time with the carry. Gain of 2.
It was interesting formation that time. Everybody was really bunched in the middle except for one receiver out wide, which is surprising because they had been spreading people out their last couple of drives.
Yeah, and Mifflinburg played that very well. You're right. That's a good point, Zach. And Danville's had a lot of success spreading the field.
Second down and 8 from the 35-yard line. Riley under center. Fakes the handoff. He rolls right. He's pressured. Gets to the corner, turns the corner. He's going to run with it, 40, 45-yard line, and that's going to be a Danville first down.
But Cade Dressler came in, and I thought he was going to be able to get him, but Riley just used his speed to get away. Really good run by Riley.
KJ showing that athleticism. He's thrown for almost 600 yards coming into tonight's game and rushing for over 118 to be exact, coming into tonight, and he's picked up yards through both the air and on the ground here tonight. 2:58 to go in this first half. Again, we are tied at 7. Halftime featured interview coming up. Again, we'll have a little perspective on what's life like in the NFL when it comes to Chapel. In fact, a little Pittsburgh Steelers connection as well. Here's a pitch to the left, and it's going to be Jagger Dressler right across midfield to the Mifflinburg 49-yard line. That's a gain of 6. Second down and 4 coming up.
That little quick pitch to that tight slot, it's a really tight slot, has given Mifflinburg fits. They can't get off the block and get out there. I think that's probably the shortest run they've had, and that was a 6-yard run.
Here come the Danville Ironmen just across midfield. They're on the Mifflinburg 49, 2:12 playing in this second quarter. Danville, all three timeouts still remaining. Back to throw, scrambling. KJ now going deep for Carson Persing. Hits him in stride at the 20, the 10, and into the end zone. Touchdown. It is a 49-yard touchdown pass as Riley finds the freshman big playmaker, Carson Persing.
What a great route by Carson Persing. Just to describe it to you, it was a hitch and go. And so he hitched back, and then as soon as he looked back, the corner put his eyes to jump the route, and as soon as he did that, Carson Persing was gone.
That's the second time they've connected for touchdowns tonight. It's now Danville 13, Mifflinburg 7, and KJ Riley set to have the point after attempt. He's perfect on the season. Set to hold for him is Ian Persing. So Riley, it's a good snap, good hold. Kick is up, and it is good. 1:59 to go in the first half. It's Danville 14, Mifflinburg 7 on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Pondus Farms is helping to sponsor this High School Football Game of the Week, located at 270 White Church Road near Elysburg, featuring a farm market with seasonal produce, canned foods, frozen foods, and baked goods, along with an on-site restaurant, banquet facility, outdoor event space, and catering service, open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 to 7, and Sunday from 8 to 7. Pondus Farms of Elysburg, on the web at pondusfarms.com.
Tons, Zach and Steve, it's Southern Columbia 35 and Shamokin nothing in the second, and Montoursville now leading Warrior Run 7-0 in the second. Now back to you.
All right, thanks, John. And here we've got some excitement as Danville again able to find the end zone. The big connection of Riley to Carson Persing, 14-7. Danville with the lead over currently undefeated Mifflinburg. 1:59 to go here in the first half. We'll see how I'd say aggressive Mifflinburg is on offense play calling, but I think it's aggressive enough just to give the ball to Mason Breed. He's been a force out of that backfield. We'll see how they approach it, see how the field position looks, of course. And set to kick off right now for Danville is Riley. Again, just under 2 minutes to go here in this first half. It's Danville 14, Mifflinburg 7. And the kick, it's a good one. It's going to hit at the one-yard line and goes into the end zone. It's going to be a touchback. Almost went out of bounds, but found the end zone, and Mifflinburg will have it right there. First and 10. Let's take a 30-second timeout. Back with more in a moment from Danville High School. The Ironmen leading the Wildcats 7-0.
Serving Snyder County and much of central Pennsylvania is the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, located along Route 35 just west of Mount Pleasant Mills in the lower level of the Family Practice Center. Pharmacist Terry Trutt and his staff provide answers about prescription medications while also stocking remedies for seasonal and general ailments. Shade Mountain Pharmacy at 570-539-2050, a supporter of WGRC.
High school football action on WGRC.
And a first down pass attempt from DeGrode. It falls short once again. It's going to be incomplete, so the Wildcats coming up now second down and 10 from their 20-yard line.
It'll be interesting what Mifflinburg does here with the last 2 minutes. You know, do they run on second down, try to milk the clock a little bit, or force Danville to use their timeouts, or do they try to go for it? The possibility of giving Danville the ball back could be bad for them at the end of the half.
Yeah, three timeouts still for Danville. Here's the carry by Breed, and Breed runs over some people across the 25 into the 28-yard line. That's going to be a gain of about 8. So it accomplishes two things. One, it moves the clock, and it moves that football for a pretty makeable third down and 2. So Mifflinburg goes hurry up here. Receiver spread out, 2 on each side. DeGroat trying to scramble, runs into his own line as he lost the lane he thought he had. And that's going to be a loss there for DeGroat back to the 23-yard line. So a loss of almost 5 on that play. It's now going to be a big 4th-and-8 coming up. And Mifflinburg hurrying, but Danville's going to call a timeout there. So a 4th-down scenario here for the Wildcats. Danville preserves the clock. We'll take a 30-second break. Back with more coming up. It's Danville 14, Mifflinburg 7 on WGRC's Game of the Week.
Underwriting WGRC is Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. For over 55 years, Steininger's has provided dry cleaning service for area residents, caring for all types of garments. Steininger's also cleans and preserves wedding gowns. Featuring drive-through service at 4 Commerce Avenue in Hummel's Wharf and 7th Street in Lewisburg. Also located at 107 West Pine Street in Selins Grove. And featuring additional drop-off locations in Middleburg, Mifflinburg, Northumberland, and Sunbury. And at Lingle's Market in Watsontown. Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. Glad to support WGRC.
Get fired up. The Regional High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
End over end kick. It hits the turf. Carson Persing lets it go, and it's going to go all the way to the Danville 21-yard line. And that was good news for the Wildcats, because anytime Carson Persing gets his hands on the football, he is a danger to take it the distance. But also, that ball rolled a good 10 to 15 yards, Zach, after it hit the turf. So now Danville, rather than, you know, having it near midfield, they're actually back around their 21-yard line.
Yeah, I thought it that really saves them, not just from Carson Persing. I think it saved them from, I think, some pretty questionable strategy offensively. You know, they went hurry up. It kind of just blew up in their face, and it gave Danville a minute and a half. So I think this will actually help them to kind of get out of here with just a touchdown deficit.
Well, big playmakers all around. They're spreading them out. Twin receiver set each side. Riley from the shotgun looks like an aggressive approach here as Riley takes the snap, looks downfield. He's going to dump it off for Harris at the 20. Harris is going to be driven back and brought down as the stop made there by DeGroote.
Just something to look for, guys. When they're in that formation and they went in motion, that left Persing, Carson Persing, with single coverage. And I'm telling you, he's a handful to cover one-on-one.
53 seconds to go in this first half. It's Danville, second down and 9 from the 22-yard line. Shotgun here for Riley. Back to throw. He's got time. Airs it out. Goes deep. And it's caught and dropped as it's going to be. I mean, the receiver's dropped. He caught the football, held on to it impressively. Ian Persing went up high, got it, held on to it. But then he was hit immediately, dropped to the turf. It's a big first down, Danville on the 47-yard line.
That was a great throw down the middle, and Ian ran a great route to get open up in the zone coverage.
Timeout called on the field here by the Ironmen. Let's take another 30-second break. Back with more as we're getting in the closing moments of the second quarter. It's Danville 14, Mifflinburg 7 on the High School Football Game of the Week.
Freeland's Harley-Davidson of Bloomsburg is supporting WGRC. Since 1990, they've been selling new and used bikes, parts, and accessories. Their on-site service department performs repairs, restorations, and customizations. In-house financing is available. Bike storage is offered from November through April. Located along Route 11 with hours Monday through Saturday, their phone number is 570-784-2453. On the web at VreelandsHarley.com.
Get fired up. The Regional High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Riley back to throw, and he's going to be dropped by the Mifflinburg defense. And some good coverage there as Riley didn't see anywhere he wanted to go with the football. So he's going to lose 4 yards on that. Almost 5. Second down now coming up for Danville. There's 25 seconds showing on the clock. Thanks for joining us tonight, the High School Football Game of the Week. I'm Don Castelline, Zach Guggenheim. Welcome to the broadcast team, doing a great job. Great to have you in the booth with us tonight.
Yeah, great to be here.
Good matchup here tonight is Danville, again, the 14-7 lead. Steve Bish is roaming the sidelines, keeping an eye on things there. And Steve, in a moment, you're going to be talking with the coaches, of course. And right now, while Mifflinburg's had one impressive running drive, that's been pretty much it offensively, but they could look at this and say, while Danville's moved the football a ton, this is a 7-point game if it stays that way. They've got to be feeling at least better about that.
Yeah, they are. I mean, it's a classic bend but don't break. They've had one big play against them, but they're definitely in this game, and they're competing very hard.
Here comes Danville right now, second down and 14 from their 43-yard line. Riley, shotgun, 4 receivers set here. One in motion is Ian Persing. Riley back to throw, and he finds Persing heading right out of bounds and stops the clock. He picks up the 4 or 5 yards to now bring it to a third down and 9 scenario as Danville will have it on their 40, just shy of their 48-yard line. 21 seconds still on the clock, and Danville is out of timeouts. Mifflinburg has 2, but I think right now Mifflinburg would be content to slip off to halftime here with a Danville 14, a Mifflinburg 7 score. Riley shotgun again, 2 receivers to each side. He's got 1 back to his right. That would be Harris. Back to throw. Riley looking downfield. Buys a little time. He's going to keep it himself. Rolls, gets the corner. Midfield to the Mifflinburg 40 and then trucks it out of bounds at the 37-yard line. Penalty flag comes out late as it might be some penalty yardage against Mifflinburg. Might have been some late contact there on the sideline. It was right there at the Mifflinburg sideline on the far side of the field. So the 37-yard line is where Riley went out of bounds with 11 seconds. And actually, when we're at this point in this part of the field, 11.9, you never know when that last half second is going to make a difference. And it is going to be actually a penalty here against Danville. So this is going to be a personal foul against the Ironmen. So instead of adding to the play, it will detract from the play. Pivotal mistake as, you know, Danville's getting in the place where definitely a threat to score, either with and having a good kicker with Riley, whether it would end by virtue of a field goal or touchdown, but it's going to hinder that scenario as the penalty yardage will be marked off. They would have had it on the 37. This will be marked back 15 yards. It'll be placed back on the Danville 48-yard line. So it's really as though that play never happened.
Wow, that's just unfortunate for Danville because it was a great play by Riley.
Well, they've got trips here near side. 1 receiver to the far side. Riley, what does he have up his sleeve on this play? He's in the shotgun. Harris to his left. Penalty flag comes out. Riley rolls to his left, goes deep, throws, and just off the hands of Jagger Dressler. Had him with some... There was a window to get that football in there, but there were several Mifflinburg Wildcats in the vicinity. But again, there's a penalty flag down.
I think the penalty would have brought it back. Yeah, it's a motion penalty, but I tell you, Dressler was triple covered, and Riley dropped that ball. It hit him right in both hands. I mean, it wouldn't have counted, but it was an unbelievable pass.
So, yeah, and on the run, too.
It was a great throw. He just dropped it right in there. Steve, you nailed it. He's just dropped it right in his hands.
And he's rolling left and throwing right. So you get a little bit of that across-the-body type motion. That's not an easy throw to make. And K.J. Riley always impressing. Well, it is going to be that 5-yard penalty. So Danville now with 3 seconds to go has it on their own 43-yard line. Again, be listening for coach interviews coming up. We'll be hearing from Jason Dressler in a moment, head football coach for Mifflinburg. Right now, Danville. Shotgun here, it's Riley. Again, spread it out, trips near side, 1 receiver to the far side. Riley, instead of rolling, he's going to keep it himself, tucks it. Now he's still got room to throw, airs it out, going deep, jump ball, and it's almost caught. Or did he catch it? Juggling it. It was caught, but it's no time to go on the 10-yard line. As it was a jump ball scenario, and there Carson Persing had the height advantage. It bobbled around. He's able to bring it in, but the clock runs out on Danville, and our score, it's Danville 14, Mifflinburg 7. Here we are at the half. Let's head down to the field. Steve Bisch making his to talk with Mifflinburg Wildcats coach Jason Dressler.
Coach, that was a classic bend, don't break. Your kids really hung tough. With the exception of 1 big pass play, you played them to a tie that half.
Yeah. The boys, they're playing tough. They're playing hard out here. Right now, that first half was in the battle of the trenches. Right now, you know, you give that one to Danville, winning the battle in the trenches. We got to clean some things up front and come out the second half with some fire and make some things happen.
Your interior defense did a really good job stuffing Danville. You had some problems on the corners. What kind of adjustments are you envisioning?
Well, it's a coverage thing. We got to, you know, play smarter than what we did. And again, discipline. Coverage comes down to discipline. You got to play pass first, worry about run second. You know, trust all the others. So we just got to remind them of responsibilities and their roles out there and assignments and clean that up a little bit, and we'll be all right second half.
Thanks, coach.
Thank you.
That's head football coach for the Mifflinburg Wildcats, Jason Dressler. So an entertaining first half, some big plays. We'll recap the scoring coming up in just a bit. Also have that special halftime featured interview. It's going to take us to a personal story, but also someone who has an opportunity to share at NFL Chapels. We'll find out what that experience is like, the platform, and the message that is shared. It's the halftime featured interview on the way. Also, John Callahan got a busy scoreboard. He'll be tracking all the action and share those details coming up in just a bit. It's halftime from Danville. The Ironmen leading Mifflinburg 14-7 on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Underwriting WGRC Friday Night Football is Better Business Solutions of Danville, providing sales and service of personal computers and the software that makes them function, offering support for both the home and business user. Better Business Solutions, located on the web at wearebbs.com. Their telephone number is 570-275-5844.
Serving the residential and commercial construction needs of Pennsylvania's heartland is CR Builders & Sons of Northumberland, providing single room and full structural remodeling, as well as repairs and handyman services. Projects include custom homes, additions, decks, and patios. The telephone number is 570-551-6711 or on Facebook at CR Builders & Sons LLC, a proud supporter of programming on WGRC.
Listener supported.
WGRC Lewisburg.
WJRC Lewistown.
WCRG Williamsport.
WZRG Cultmont.
And WGRC.com.
Get ready for a night of worship at GT Church in Reading, PA. Hillsong Young and Free. The 3 Tour.
Everything will be alright.
With special guests, We Are Messengers.
Maybe it's okay.
Tuesday, September 17th, Hillsong Young and Free brings a fresh, positive message of faith to GT Church. Tickets are available now at premierproductions.com, including gold package seats that include a pre-show Q&A and post-show meet and greet. The music and the message of Hillsong Young and Free with special guests, We Are Messengers. September 17th at GT Church. More details and tickets are available now at premierproductions.com.
This message is sponsored by Fill the Gap Concerts, a nonprofit organization supporting WGRC.
It's the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC, the halftime interview.
Today on WGRC, chatting with Dr. Clarence Schuler. We're going to find out about some of the work he's doing in the NFL as we talk faith and sports. And your love for sports, how far back does that go? What kind of triggered it?
Well, I grew up in North Carolina. In North Carolina, we have basketball, tobacco, and Baptist, you know, permitting that order. So as I grew up, basketball is my God. And that's what I did. And basketball is my way. I didn't realize it initially. I was trying to affirm my manhood. So I have had success playing basketball in high school and college and overseas against national Olympic teams.
When it comes to having success on the basketball court, what were some of the things that were instrumental in you growing as a player and becoming more and more successful as you progressed at each of those levels?
Well, thank God for my parents. I had really good genes. I was really quick. I usually was quicker than anybody else I played with. And I had a hard work ethic, which really helped. And then I had some really great coaching. Growing up in Winston-Salem, I had access to the coaches at Wake Forest. The late Jack McCloskey and Billy Packer were guys. I would go to their camps, and they would really train me. And then the competition was great. So great coaching, hard work ethic, and some good genes made a big difference.
Did you ever find during your time as a player that fears, anxiety, it's a big platform, you know, you can have the crowd there and you don't want to let anybody down? Was that something you had to kind of wrestle through?
I did. It was, you know, I was a great practice player, but then in the games I get really nervous and I would choke or freeze. It wasn't until a practice once that an all-star player on our team gave me permission to miss that it kind of took the pressure off. And it just turned my athletic life around, you know, so to speak.
When it came to facing an opponent, I imagine you probably had some competition that stretched you in different kinds of ways, just like you would have stretched some of the opponents trying to.
Well, yeah, there were guys, you know, within the first couple minutes of the game, you can really tell a lot of times what kind of game you're going to have. If a guy is a better athlete or certain things he does well, that was really important. So you have to just really become a student of the game, the guy you're playing, and what you could do, what you couldn't do. For example, if a guy's a great ball handler, and if I kind of fake for a steal in the first half and couldn't get it because he's really good, then I'd really wait for the second half if the game was close to really go after him. And so, because you're only going to get one shot. So those are things you had to look at, and you had to trust yourself and believe your hard practice would pay off.
Now, I did mention a few moments ago, you are involved in the NFL platform, Chapel Speaking. I know you're a book author as well. How did the door open to getting involved with NFL teams?
I did some diversity work for, used to be Campus Crusade, but it's called Crew now. And so in doing diversity training or helping them in with their athletes in action, quite a few of the, one of the directors for some of the chaps and all the chaps in NFL, they go through Crew. And I think they have access to maybe 16 teams or more, I'm not sure. And they began to ask me to come speak in chapel because I related marriage relationships to sports and stuff like that. So that's how I began to get into the NFL and do chapel for NFL teams.
Well, maybe you can give us a little behind-the-scenes look at what that atmosphere is like. I imagine it could vary a little bit team to team and the dynamic of guys that are there. But describe what one of those chapel settings looks like.
Well, I think you'd like this. The fact that the largest number of people who ever came to a chapel during the summer, during preseason, were the Pittsburgh Steelers. And your head coach there, Mike Tomlin, he's my amen corner. So, and all the coaches came. During the regular season, they'll usually have maybe 20, 25 players. But Pittsburgh, during the preseason, had like 50, 60 players. They're busy. They're in meetings and getting ready for the game the next day. It's just quite amazing. And then when you finish the chapel, if players want to come and talk to you, they do that. And then afterwards, you're offered the opportunity to eat with them. And they have all kind of food. It takes up a ballroom how much food they have. And what's amazing, they can eat it all. So it's quite amazing. But they've allowed me to bring my wife and my my daughters in just to meet the players and stuff. So it's very low-key, but it's also very business-like. And if you do a chapel the day of a game, they're very business-like. They have their football faces on, and it's a totally different animal those days.
You mentioned about just the amount of activity that those guys are involved in and between the meetings and preparing. To be able to kind of cut through all of that with the message that you want to share, to do it in a good, timely way, but also something that grabs the attention. I imagine that's a challenge, but I imagine you maybe have some strategies to do that. What's been the most effective way to kind of really get the room's attention with the different themes that you talk about?
Well, first thing is say, hey, if you want to, you guys know what it takes to win on the field. I said, but the question is, do you really know what it takes to win in a relationship? And that's their attention, because these guys want to have a great relationship with the women in their lives, but some are married, some are single, but that gets their attention, and they perk up. And so we began to talk, and based on how I sense the spirit of the group, because you only have about 20, 25 minutes, I think, to speak. Sometimes I make it interactive where they're talking back and forth. I remember doing one for the Denver Broncos, and Peyton Manning was in there, and they were very interactive and stuff like that. So so just really, you have to touch on topics that they deal with, what they struggle with, but success off the field is a real big deal for them.
This is a subject I know when it comes to relationships and building guys in this example, building them up, but it could be a mixed group as well. I know it's close to your heart. You've got some books that you've been working on. I know you worked with Gary Chapman on one called Choose Greatness. Just tell me a little bit about the book writing and how people can find out more about those.
Well, they can go to my website. My name is ClarenceSchuler.com. And then my last name is no C in it. It's just S-H-U-L-E-R. Two words all together, ClarenceSchuler.com. And they can go to my bookstore and find the books that I'm working on. And one, like the NFL players really like a lot, is called Keeping Your Wife Your Best Friend. And they really like that. And that I share my pornography addiction and how God delivered me from that, have been clean for about 25 years. So a lot of guys like that. But it's a book they can read with their wife or significant other. And they tell me they really like it. It's humorous. So, but yeah, it is my passion. It's really relationship.
It's an important group you get a chance to speak with there. Of course, guys on a big platform making a lot of money and on the spotlight all the time, the pressure that goes with that and the temptation that is there everywhere, whether it's right. The NFL or, the basketball scene in Carolina. And right. That pressure can exist in other settings as well. Just the importance of, for anyone listening even to this right now, whatever their walk of life is, that temptation is a reality, and maybe some encouragement or tips
tips to being able to handle that as we kind of navigate through life. We want to do it in a way that glorifies God.
Right, exactly. And you know, the biggest tip I would tell people is that whether they're married or dating or just pursuing, it's all about communication. Communication is to relationships what a location is to real estate. You got to communicate, assume nothing, and talk about everything. And so if you guys learn to do that, that really builds relationships and helps people understand. And we teach people how to listen. So when someone's talking, you're not trying to have a comeback, or you're just really trying to hear what they say, and then even teach them some tips on how to make sure they're hearing what the other person is saying. And if they're believers, women want nothing more important than a guy to pray with them.
Dr. Clarence Schuler, our guest here at WGRC, halftime featured interview. Appreciate the time, the work that you're doing. And again, the website, ClarenceSchuler.com. Encourage people to check that out. Thanks again for joining us today.
Well, Don, thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
You've been listening to the halftime interview. Get set for the second half of tonight's game on WGRC's Football Friday.
Robert Marks Sr. of Marks, McLaughlin & Dennehy, attorneys at law in Danville, is pleased to support WGRC's presentation of the District 4 High School Football Game of the Week. Providing guidance for cases such as personal injury, automobile accidents, criminal defense, real estate, wills, and adoptions. Located at 48 West Market Street in Danville, Marks, McLaughlin & Dennehy, attorneys at law. 570-275-3411.
Building 429. Wake up to find. You've been encouraged by their songs on the radio. Now see them live. The Fear No More Tour with Building 429. And I will fear no more. Friday, October 11th at Revival Tabernacle. Building 429 with very special guest Britt Nicole. The Fear No More Tour with Building 429. A night of music and worship with the songs you know and sing along to. This is not where I belong. Plus, Britt Nicole. Tickets are available right now online at PremierProductions.com. The Fear No More Tour with Building 429 comes to Watsontown, October 11th at Revival Tabernacle. Your tickets are waiting now at PremierProductions.com. Produced by Fill the Gap Concerts.
This concert event sponsored locally by WGRC, J-Meg Ministries, and Revival Tabernacle.
Supporting WGRC is Horizon Federal Credit Union, serving residents throughout North Central Pennsylvania. Providing a range of banking services, including interest-bearing checking accounts, as well as auto, home equity, and mortgage loans. Online and mobile banking are available, with branch locations in Williamsport and Lock Haven, and ATMs elsewhere in Lycoming and Clinton counties. Online at horizonfcu.org.
Agent Jeff Connor and the staff at the Allstate Insurance Company in Lewisburg are sponsoring WGRC, featuring 24-hour customer service and online policy access, providing a wide range of Allstate Insurance products. They also offer investment advising and financial management services. Jeff Connor's Allstate Insurance office at 1524 West Market Street in Lewisburg at 570-523-9500 and at agents.allstate.com.
Taking a look at our WGRC halftime scoreboard, it's Montoursville 14 and Warrior nothing. Warrior Run nothing at the half. South Williamsport 28 and Muncie 7 at halftime. It's Southern Columbia 55 and Shamokin nothing at the half. Midwest is leading Shenandoah Valley 34 to nothing there late in the second. Also in the second, Central Columbia 28 and Hughesville nothing. It's Loyal Sock 28 and Bloomsburg 7 in the second. Mount Carmel is leading Jersey Shore 21-6 there at halftime. Lewisburg 27 and Milton nothing in the Tomato Bowl there late in the second. And at halftime, it's Selins Grove 20 and Chickalimmy 6. Now back to you guys.
All right, thanks. Let's head down to the field. Coach Brian Raup of the Danville Ironmen.
Coach, we were talking off while we were at commercial. That was a fun half. It was really a fun game to watch. You put two scores up. You lost another one on a fumble. What was your message at halftime?
We just got to keep with the game plan. I mean, everything we expected to happen was happening. They're playing the defense we expected, and we just got to secure the ball. We got to make more plays.
How do you handle Mason Breed? What a load that kid is.
He's tough, and as advertised, we knew coming in he was going to be hard to bring down. And the bottom line is we got to get more guys to the football. We got to wrap up, and it's going to be really gang tackling is going to help us out.
All right, Coach, thanks. Good luck. Thanks,
all right, thanks, Steve. Appreciate you bringing that conversation. And just recapping the score, we're almost set for the second half here. The scoring got started. Danville with 9:58 left to go in the second quarter. It was an 11-yard touchdown pass. Riley found Persing, made it 7-0. Mifflinburg answered. It was their one big drive of the first half. They had six first downs, took the ball 74 yards. It ended off with a 2-yard touchdown run by Hoy, but Mason Breed getting a lot of those tough yards on the ground. That came with 4:04 to go in the first half. Danville then answered another big pass connection, Riley to Carson Persing, a 49-yard touchdown bomb, and that made it Danville 14-7 with 1:59 to go. Mifflinburg a 3-and-out, and Danville nearly scored again at the end. So Danville with four series, and Zach, two of them were touchdowns. One, they drove the field, fumbled it in the end zone, and then the last one, they just ran out of time, had the ball on the Mifflinburg 10-yard line. So all four of those drives effective for Danville. Mifflinburg, not a lot of yardage on three of their four series, but the one that they did get was a very impressive running heavy drive to have this at 14-7 right now.
Yeah, I thought that K.J. Riley, he is really the star of this game. Him and Carson Persing, I think the question for Mifflinburg's defense is how do they contain just two very dynamic playmakers in the Persing brothers as well as Riley at the quarterback position. I think with Mifflinburg, I thought they added a really good wrinkle. As Mason Breed got going, they added some fullback handoffs, some fullback counters, and that really helped free up the middle. But can they continue that, and can they get some downfield throws? Can DeGroat be accurate in throwing the football?
Steve, when you see these teams come onto the field, we heard from the coaches. Any read on the body language there? It seems pretty upbeat here on the Danville side.
Well, it is. And, you know, Mifflinburg's got to be really happy with their position. I don't want to say they got outplayed. They made some mistakes. They gave up some chunk yards, but they hung in there. And, you know, I think coming out in this third quarter, I think this defensive series Mifflinburg has is going to tell a lot about how this game's going to play out.
Well, again, they trail right now. It's Danville 14, Mifflinburg 7, and Danville gets the football to start this third quarter. Set to kick off is Gabe Stettler for Mifflinburg. Again, one of the linemen for Mifflinburg who recently gave kicking a go. And guess what? He's got the job. And he's delivering one here end over end. It's going to hit and be caught by Carson Persing at the 10. He's to the 15, 20, shows that speed, gets to the outside, turns a corner. He's only got one to beat, and he's going to be knocked out of bounds right about the Mifflinburg 47, maybe 46-yard line. Wow. He turns the speed on, and there was just one Wildcat to beat who had the angle on him and still almost got around him.
He is so good at setting up his blocks. And so he uses his speed well, but he's also really good at using the blockers to really maximize his creases to get more yardage. He's done it both in receiving as well as in the return game.
For Carson Persing, actually the tiptoe down the sidelines actually ended at the Mifflinburg 48-yard line. That is where the Ironmen will have it, first down and 10. Riley under center, hands it off. First back through, it's going to be Harris, and Harris gets to the 47. So just a gain of a yard there for Danville, and Mifflinburg there with a good solid play up front.
It's going to be important for Mifflinburg, especially that Danville has this good field position. Mifflinburg is going to have to stop them from getting a first down here.
Almost to the 46-yard line. We'll call it a second down and 8 right now for the Ironmen. Again, coming in tonight, 2-1, wins over Shikellamy and Warrior Run. The one setback, a last-second loss to Loyal Sock. Mifflinburg right now a 3-0 start, wins over Hughesville, Bloomsburg, and Milton. Here's a handoff. This is going to be to Ian Persing, and Ian Persing avoids some tacklers, but then the swarm of Wildcats comes, and there's just too many of them as the Cats pounce on Persing just before midfield. So it's going to be a loss of about 3 there for the Ironmen. It's now, they're going to actually place it right at the 48-yard line. So maybe a good spot there for Danville. It's going to be still 3rd down and 10 coming up for the Ironmen.
It's a great adjustment by the defense. They use that play as a swing play over and over again to get yardage. This time they had great leverage to keep him contained in the backfield.
Under center, Riley Always watch Carson Persing. He split out near side. Those two, a little hitch and go. Open on the sideline. They got it. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. You could almost see the eye contact before that one. That play worked in the first half. And decent coverage, but not great coverage, as it's tough to hang step for step with Carson Persing. And it's a 48-yard touchdown pass. Almost an identical. There was a 49-yarder in the second quarter. But basically the same thing.
Well, Colin Miller was out there, and I'll tell you, he had good position. It was right in front of me, and it was a little hitch and go, same thing they scored on before. And I will say Persing had a step, and maybe just a step, but give K.J. Riley credit. That ball was absolutely perfect.
You can tell they throw that probably all the time in practice. There's the point after attempt from Riley, and it's good with 10:28 to go, third quarter. It's Danville 21, Mifflinburg 7 on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Coast Transmissions of Shamokin Dam. Mike Bordner, owner, is sponsoring in part tonight's WGRC High School Football Game of the Week. Since 1986, Coast Transmissions has provided service and repair for automatic and manual transmissions for domestic and most foreign automobiles and light trucks. Open Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located near the intersection of Routes 11 and 15. Call Transmissions of Shamokin Dam at 743-1115.
Friday Rock!
WGRC's Football Friday features top matchups from around the region. It's the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Big plays abounding tonight on the High School Football Game of the Week. Danville getting the majority of them. Three big touchdowns already. Danville leading Mifflinburg 21-7. 10:28 to go in the third quarter. I'm Don Kastelein. Zach Guggenheim and Steve Bisch joining me from the field, and John Callahan keeping us up to date with a busy night of football. Some backyard rivalries, teams like Shamokin and Sealands Grove and Shikellamy playing tonight. Also, Lewisburg at Milton for the Tomato Bowl. Those among the matchups happening throughout the region. End-over-end kick is going to just barely get out of bounds. It almost died on the two-yard line. And here on the turf, Riley Stahl was looking at that, I think, just maybe making sure that one indeed went out of bounds. So it's going to be good field position here for Mifflinburg to start things off their first drive. And they did manage to, you know, come away with a touchdown drive that answered a Danville score. In fact, it was the first Danville score of the first half. They're going to try and do the same here in the second half, Zach.
Yeah, they're going to have to. The way that this game is going, they have to answer here. Otherwise, they could really get buried quickly.
So far, Danville's had five impressive drives. They've had three touchdowns to show for it. 10:28 to go. Here comes Mason Breed up the middle, just a gain of a yard or two.
The fumble on the play. The ball came flying out of there. Danville has it.
Yep, you are right. Good eye, Steve. It was Colton Sidler running away with the football. Slow getting up, I think, is Andrew Deal. He was, blocking on the play. He does jump back up now, but Sidler with the big fumble recovery.
Tell you, this second half has started about in the worst possible way for Mifflinburg. They give up a big kick return, then they give up a big touchdown, and now they fumble on the first play, offensive play of the second half. It's critical for Mifflinburg to hold here. Otherwise, this game might get ugly really quickly.
So Danville now has it first and 10 from the Mifflinburg 39-yard line. Tight formation. Handoff is going to come to Jagger Dressler, and that's going to be to the 36, then to the 35-yard line, falling forward for some additional yardage. Four-yard gain there. It's second down and 6 coming up for Danville.
Four-yard pickup, ball mark.
I'm watching this secondary of Mifflinburg. They're playing too deep. It's not a true cover, too. The corners are playing man, and they're playing wide side of the field, but they've got to do something to get these corners some help. Need some double coverage. I'll tell you, you put Persing out here, you just can't put a defender on the island. He's uncoverable.
Receivers, three of them to the near side, one far side as Riley goes shotgun here for the second down and 6. Takes that snap, looks, throws, caught by Dressler, and then quickly wrapped up and dropped just for a 2-yard gain. Nice defense and a good tackle in the open field as Colin Miller, the junior, able to bring him down.
Yeah, it's really good discipline by Miller. He was with Persing, but then he shot through the gap and got Dressler down.
Third down now and five coming up for the Ironmen. Ball placed on the 34-yard line. Well, here's that opportunity to come up with a stop. This could be four down territory for Danville, but third and five right now. Mifflinburg going to dig in on defense. Watch for Colton Persing. He's on the far side of the field being covered by DeGrote. Instead, it's going to be a handoff. Harris, and he's going to have a first down all the way to the 25-yard line. Took the left side and gained eight. Twice the amount he needed, and it's going to be a first down Ironman.
Harris did a great job of following his blocks, and he's got such a low center of gravity. He's able to kind of weave his way and stay up. I thought he was going to be down about 3 yards shorter than where he ended up. He's a really good runner, and he's very quick.
So on the 25-yard line, Danville marching again. They've not had any. There's been no three and outs. There's been no stalled drives. Every one of their drives has turned out big yardage. They lead Mifflinburg right now 21-7, 8:23 to go in the third quarter. One in motion. Riley under center, hands it off. This is going to be Harris trying the right side. He bounces it to the outside, but he's not going to turn the corner as DeGrote cuts it off. And Riley Stahl out there as well. And that is going to be a loss of a couple. It'll be second down and 12 coming up for the Ironmen.
Really good pursuit, but not just by DeGrote, but the whole defense just flowing to the ball. That's one of the better defensive plays that we've seen here in the second half.
Actually, Mifflinburg, I would say 90% of the time their defense has been very good, very good. But they've given up these chunk plays, and it's not really bad defense. It's just one-on-one matchups, and they're getting beat.
Second down and 12 now. Riley again under center. This time Carson Persing to the near side. He's in single coverage. They throw it. It's going to be off the hands of Ian Persing. Ian Persing was inside of Carson right about the hash, and he kind of spun around a little bit. I'm not sure if he had to, but Riley placed it there where he had a play on it, but it goes off of Ian's hands, falls incomplete. Here's a big third and 12 now coming up for Danville.
To Steve's point earlier, it is good defense to get pressure on KJ Riley. It affected the throw just a little bit, and I think Ian Persing had to wait on it a bit, and I wonder if that's what affected him his ability to catch the ball.
Third down and 12, 7:25 to go in the third quarter. It's Danville 21, Mifflinburg 7. Danville in Mifflinburg territory on the 27-yard line. Dressler in motion left to right. Looking downfield, and it's going to be a screen play. Wide open, Harris to the 20, the 15, the 10. And he is going to be brought down about the 7-yard line, and they needed to get to the 15. So another Danville first down, and you know, you see the good defense first and second down, and then third down, it kind of breaks down with that screen play well executed by Danville.
It's a great play call. They saw that Mifflinburg was able to get pressure, and so what do? They call a screen play to bring in the pressure, and he floats it right over the top of them. Great play call.
And there you see the experience. KJ Riley so comfortable in all these different moments. And he's under center right now. First and goal from the Mifflinburg 7. Hands it off. This is going to be Dressler trying the right side. Cuts it up and in to the end zone. Danville touchdown.
Just great blocking. He had a really nice lane to run through there. And it extends the lead to 27-7.
So now it is four touchdowns. Carson Persing and Riley connected for the first three. This time they do it on the ground with a 7-yard touchdown run from Dressler. 6:51 to go in this third quarter. And you know, you guys mentioned about the importance here of the start in this third quarter, and it's not gone Mifflinburg's way. It was a 14-7 game at the half, but right now, pending the extra point, might be a three-touchdown advantage for Danville coming up. Here's Riley's extra point attempt. It is up. And it is good. 6:51 to go, third quarter. It's Danville 28, Mifflinburg 7 on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Jesus said in John 4:14, "Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, it will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." This encouragement is brought to you by Melcott Radiator, repairing and rebuilding radiators for any size, make, and model, including antique cars, tractors, and heavy equipment. They also service diesel fuel tanks, oil coolers, heater cores, AC condensers, and ReCore Charge air coolers. Our thanks to Melcott Radiator on the Old Trail in Sealands Grove at 374-2575.
Don, Zach, and Steve just starting the third. It's Midwest 41 and Shenandoah Valley nothing. And Warrior Run on the board now. Montoursville leading Warrior Run 14-7 in the third. Now back to you.
All right, thanks, John. And that Warrior Run score just makes me think next week we'll have Warrior Run at Mifflinburg. That's going to be our Friday night football game of the week coming up next Friday. Should be a lot of fun to have the Warrior Run defenders back on the schedule, and they'll be in Mifflinburg to face the Wildcats. So join us next Friday night. But we still have some action to go here. Week four, it is Danville 28, Mifflinburg 7. We've got 6:51 to go here in this third quarter. Riley Stahl receives the kick at the 10 to the 20, 25-yard line. Outside, he's at the 40. One to beat. Midfield, and then dragged down from behind right about the 42, 43-yard line. And it's possible they've been kind of kicking away from Riley Stahl a little bit. It went out of bounds the last time, but maybe with the 3-touchdown lead, it's like, oh, let's go ahead and just keep this one in bounds here. Well, Riley Stahl showed he's got that big play Wildcats capability. Now the Wildcats on the Danville 41.
It's a great opportunity for them. Can they take advantage of this and get it into the end zone to cut this lead to two scores?
Well, the first, they've only had one other series this second half, and it was a fumble on first down. Mifflinburg looking to have a better series here. Again, first and 10, good field position, Danville 41. DeGroat fakes the handoff, rolls right, looks downfield, buying time, and underthrows Mason Breed. Maybe DeGroat just kind of running out of comfort there as he had Tyler Seamus kind of right on top of him at the end, but underthrown. And that's been kind of the story here a little bit tonight. It's either been underthrows. We've seen a few overthrows as well, but just not on target tonight for DeGroat.
Yeah, it's interesting. DeGroat, he has been really good running the ball. He's been I think he could really do well in that part of the game, but when he rolls out to throw, he's just unable to be accurate. That's been very different from KJ Riley.
Second down and 10 right now for the Wildcats. I formation. Mason Breed gets a handoff. He's got room. 35, 30, stiff arms, and powers his way inside the 25-yard line. Just when you thought the run was finished, one more stiff arm gives Breed about another 4 or 5 yards on the end of that. It's going to be a first down for Mifflinburg at the Danville 25.
Boy, he's been worth the price of admission to watch that kid run. I have not seen a high school back that dominant running in a long time. I mean, he just he defines a downhill runner.
First down and 10, Mifflinburg. I formation once again from the Danville 25. Same play, going to go to Breed. This time Danville swallows it up. It's still going to be a gain of a yard or two. Maybe just call it one. It'll be a second down and 9 from the 24.
Danville really shut the door on that one, and it's good for Breed to even just get one.
I'm watching Mason Breed here, and I'm picturing some Gage Garcia runs over at Southern Columbia. Those guys can put on a clinic right now in the District 4.
Well, it's important, Mifflinburg. They, I mean, it's an obvious statement, but they do need to score, and if they do, there's time in this game to claw your way back in it via turnover, but they need to move the chains.
Pitch to Breed, and Breed trying to get that far corner. He gets to the 20. It's going to be a gain of about 4, and it is going to be third down now coming up, third and about 5 for Mifflinburg. So 4 down territory, so have this right now at the 20. Again, 5:12 to play. It's Danville 28, Mifflinburg 7. The Wildcats a 3-0 start. Last week, piled on the points against Milton. In fact, they had 7 touchdowns, all from different players a week ago. Here tonight, just one score. It was a Hoy 2-yard touchdown run, but Breed's been the show on offense tonight for Mifflinburg. Here comes a fake handoff. DeGroat's going to keep it himself. He's got room. He's got the first down at the 15 to the 10. And DeGroat just inside the 10. It's going to be first and goal coming up Wildcats. And DeGroat reminding you got to respect his feet when he decides to head for some open field.
Yeah, it was a really good, some really good ball movement there to get himself free. And once he got an alley, he was able to run for the first down.
So now Mifflinburg knocking on the Danville door. First and goal from the 9-yard line. trying to get some life back in the Mifflinburg sideline. Two receivers near side eye formation. This is going to be a handoff to Breed. Breed to the six, to the five, and he is going to be knocked down right there at the five-yard line. And every time you see him come down, Steve, there's a Ironman up high, Ironman down low, and typically one in the middle. It takes three or four of them, but he went down there at the five.
I just wanted to say, I don't think you can accurately say he got knocked down. He got slowed down, and finally they piled on, and he fell down. But, boy, I tell you, he is an impressive young man.
So at the five-yard line, second down and goal for the Wildcats. Spreading it out. One receiver near side, two to the far side, including Stahl. DeGroat's going to keep it himself. Looks for a lane up the middle, and he's got a touchdown. Five-yard touchdown run for quarterback Gary DeGroat, the senior captain from Mifflinburg. Puts this back to a two-score game. It's 28-13, 3:49 to play in the third quarter.
You know, I don't know how this game will end up, but I have to say that was a very, very impressive drive. I mean, they had to score there, and they did that. And, you know, that says a lot about the character of this team. They're still 14 down, but those kids played hard.
Stetler, point after attempt, is up, and it is no good. The snap was a little low, and the kick went wide right. So 3:49 to play third quarter. It's Danville 28, Mifflinburg 13 on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Serving Columbia County and all of Central Pennsylvania is Millville HPS, providing solar power solutions for both business and residential, including the design and installation of solar PV systems for generating electricity. They also offer solar hot water systems to heat water for showers, pools, or to supplement home heating. On the web at MillvilleHPS.com. Their telephone number is 570-336-2617. Proudly supporting programming on WGRC.
Don Sack and Steve Sealensgrove scores on their first play from scrimmage in the second half. It is now Sealensgrove 27 and Shikellamy 6. Now back to you.
All right, thanks, John. Well, Mifflinburg bringing this one a little closer. It's Danville 28, Mifflinburg 13 on our high school football game of the week. And Stetler set to kick off here, end over end. And Carson Persing receives it at the 5. 10, 15, 20, that speed on the far sideline to the 30-yard line, still on his feet at the 35, and somehow kicking still to his side, and it is going to be a good return. Danville will have it first and 10, and the ball's going to be placed waiting for the official spot here. It looks like it's going to be right about the 38-yard line. Steve, you mentioned a moment ago about how Mifflinburg, impressive that they drove and scored and answered there. It brought me back to the word that they have as their mantra for the season. I don't know if you recall, it's on the back of the shirts that they made up for this year, and that word is the word compete. It's exactly what they just did on that last drive.
Absolutely, and they've been competing very hard in this game.
So Danville right now competing hard in their own right, and in fact, they have had five drives, four touchdowns to show for it. There were six drives. They had one that ended due to a fumble and one they just ran out of time at the end of the first half. So six impressive drives, four touchdowns. Mifflinburg's going to need to still find a way to come up with a stop and get the football back. There is a timeout on the field. We'll keep it right here at Danville High School. Again, you're listening to high school football coverage on WGRC. Trust you were able to enjoy the halftime featured interview. A little look into an NFL chapel scenario for someone who speaks and shares and encourages individuals, including NFL players, when it comes to marriage and other things as well, and godly living in that way. We've got some other halftime featured interviews coming up, including former Bucknell Bison head football coach Joe Susan. So we'll have him featured coming up here in the weeks ahead as well. So some other goodies tucked away halftimes for you through the rest of the season. Well, here we've got 3:39 to go in this big play ball game from Danville. Mifflinburg trailing the Ironman 28-13. Here comes Danville, first and 10, following the timeout on their 38-yard line. Tight formation. Riley's under center. Two in the backfield. It's going to go to Jagger Dressler. Dressler's going to try and go left. Gets to the corner to the 40. The big back to midfield. Tripped up there. Almost held onto his feet. But he's going to be having the first down. And We'll put it down at the Mifflinburg 49-yard line, first and 10.
I feel like we've been saying this all game, but it's the speed and the one-on-one matchups really is those are the things that are giving Mifflinburg's defense such a hard time. They're in position. They have good leverage, but sometimes the speed and skill is just so much better right now for Danville.
Dressler coming in tonight, averaging 7 yards a carry. That time he picked up the first down. It's going to be first and 10. Riley back to throw, loses the football, picked up by Mifflinburg. Big turnover in the backfield as Riley did not see the blindside pressure coming his way. Big, big fumble recovery by Mifflinburg, and scooping it up, Nathaniel Rosen, the senior outside linebacker, Mr. Opportunity right there.
Cade Dressler from the backside. He just missed making the last play. He was in great position. That was a blindside, came down, just stripped the ball, and Riley never saw him coming. So, again, this is what we're talking about, a great opportunity. You got to have some turnovers, and if Mifflinburg scores now, guess what? This is a new ball game.
And I'm thinking Coach Dressler, with all the other instructions on the sideline, he keeps saying, compete, compete. I can almost hear it up here. I formation, under center. DeGroat back to throw, going deep, looking for Stahl, just overthrows his speedy wide receiver. Riley Stahl, his favorite target, had a step, but not much, and he laid it a little bit long, and if you're going to miss, of course, you do want to miss deep there so it's not turned right back over, but it's going to be second and 10 now coming up for the Wildcats.
I really like the play call, though, and I thought this throw was so much closer and much more on time than his other throws, and so I wonder if they'll come back to that later in the game.
Riley Stahl has the speed out there, but a good secondary for Danville as well, in on the coverage there. I formation, expect Breed. Yes, he gets the call, and he's going to try the right side, and he quickly slips forward for about almost 5 yards. We'll gain a four. They're going to put him out right at the 36-yard line, so third and six coming up.
You wonder if this is going to be four down territory again with them being so close on plus territory. You wonder if maybe they just run it two more times to see if they can get the first down.
Well, the yardage heavily in favor of Danville tonight, but Mifflinburg has made the most of their bigger drives. Right now it's Danville 28, Mifflinburg 13. DeGroat from the shotgun, going to keep it himself. Left side, he is going to be swarmed under at the line of scrimmage. Falls forward to the 35, just a gain of one. It is fourth down and five now coming up. Well, they're going to actually place it closer to the 36, so fourth and six. And do you play a little field position, try and slow Danville back by pinning them deep, or go for the 6 yards here from the Danville 36-yard line? Decision time coming up for Coach Jason Dressler, 2:33. There's still lots of time. The problem is, except for that fumble that happened on the last series, Danville has just not been slowed down on offense. So Mifflinburg's going for points here. Fourth and six from the Danville 36. I formation. Let's see if they give it to Breed. No. Back to throw. DeGroat looks, throws, and it's going to be picked off. Picked off at the 30, out of bounds at the 32.
I like the decision, but I'm not sure I agree with the play call. I think they've been switching up their handoffs all game. I know fourth and six is a hard time to do a handoff, but they just haven't shown any ability to really throw downfield.
Or maybe try a screenplay or something like that to get Breed in some open space, but nonetheless, it's going to be a Danville first down and 10 from their 33-yard line. So the Danville defense stands the test as Mifflinburg turns it over on downs. So first and 10 right now coming up for the Ironmen. Again, Danville leading Mifflinburg 28-13. Riley under center. Ian Persing in motion, right to left. Handoff right up the middle. Little burst of speed from Harris before he's tripped up, and that's going to be a gain of about three on the play, maybe four.
Well, Harris just plants his foot and just goes. He is quick as a whistle.
The senior fullback, one of the co-captains here for the Ironmen. Ironmen tonight being led by assistant coach Brian Raup. Again, the resignation of Jim Kaiser happening earlier in the week, and Brian Raup and Chris Coombe have been kind of sharing that load and plan to continue to do that through the remainder of the season here at Danville. keeping the continuity. Here's the handoff. Jagger Dressler cuts it into the middle of the field, 40, 45 to the 47-yard line, the big back. And what a combination. You've got Joey Harris, that low center gravity at 5'5", 160. Then you got Jagger Dressler at 6'2", 170. And he gets the first down. It's on the Danville 47.
Yeah, I'm gonna use my Ohio State knowledge here. He reminds me a little bit of Eddie George, just the way that he's tall, he's lean and mean. He's a good-looking running back.
Eddie George, I've seen play. Steve went earlier to Jim Brown, which I've seen wonderful footage on Jim Brown, but never live. Hey, we've got a first down and 10 right now. Danville from the 47-yard line. Quick screen pass to Carson Persing. Missed the tackle, and then he's tripped up, but it was kind of a all-or-nothing move there from Riley Stahl to try and bring him down, and recovering and getting to the 44-yard line. It's going to be a gain of 8, second down and 2 coming up for Danville. I'm not sure if it was DeGroat or...
It was DeGroat out there, and he's been playing him pretty tight. That time he backed off. It's almost as if, I don't know if they're giving a signal, but that play has not been there, but that time it was. I'm wondering if they're using hand signals. It was a good call.
Right up the middle, it's going to be Riley, and he's got the 2 yards needed for the first down all the way to the Mifflinburg 40. We've got 21 seconds on the clock. Danville again marching down the field, and Mifflinburg just not able to come up with that three and out. They'll have a good defensive player too, but then something seems to spring forward and get Danville the first down. They're just piling on the yards here tonight, but it's still competitive on that scoreboard. We're getting ready to hit the close of the third quarter as Danville's going to let it hit zeros. It's Danville 28, Mifflinburg 13. We've hit the end of the third quarter on the Friday Night Football Game of the Week on WGRC. Heading to quarter four next. Keep it tuned here for more exciting football action.
Underwriting WGRC is Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. For over 55 years, Steininger's has provided dry cleaning service for area residents, caring for all types of garments. Steininger's also cleans and preserves wedding gowns. Featuring drive-through service at 4 Commerce Avenue in Hummel's Wharf and 7th Street in Lewisburg. Also located at 107 West Pine Street in Sealands Grove. And featuring additional drop-off locations in Middleburg, Mifflinburg, Northumberland, and Sunbury. And at Lingle's Market in Watsontown. Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. Glad to support WGRC.
Don, Zach, and Steve in the Tomato Bowl. It's Lewisburg 34 and Milton nothing in the third. Mount Carmel pulling away from Jersey Shore now, 27-6. The score in that one in the third. And it's Central Columbia 35 and Hughesville nothing in the third. Now back to you.
All right, thanks, John. Well, some big plays here tonight. It's been lots of excitement, but Danville with the majority of them. It's Danville 28, Mifflinburg 13. Danville right now on the Mifflinburg 40-yard line. Handoff, Harris. Harris to the 35, just straight speed. Left side just kind of went between his left tackle and guard, and he gets to the 30-yard line, and that is going to be just a yard shy of the 30, so it's going to be second and one coming up for Danville.
I tell you, Danville's offensive line is just really doing a good job of getting a push on that on their defense, and that's what's helping these running backs have these large holes to run through.
Second and one now, Ironman from the Mifflinburg 31. Great turnout here tonight, of course, as you'd expect at Danville, week four of the high school football season. Beautiful night. Cloudy, but very comfortable. Good football weather. Pitch to Dressler on the right side. Ball comes out. Ball comes out. Did Danville recover? They say they did. Dressler was trying to get some extra yardage. He had the first down, and it will be a Danville first down as alertly one of the Ironmen able to jump on it right about the 21-yard line. So nearly another lost fumble on consecutive drives here for Danville, but there the Ironmen alertly able to maintain possession.
Dressler is one of those backs. He runs, he keeps his head up, keeps his eyes downfield. He sees that cutback and actually uses it against the defense when they're pursuing hard. He's been impressive on a couple of cutback moves.
We're in the fourth quarter, 10:41 to go. Pro set here, two in the backfield. Riley under center. Carson Persing, always watch him. He split out near side. Here's going to be a handoff. Harris up the middle inside the 20. He gets close to the 15. He covers a lot of ground in a short period of time. I mean, that's a gain of 4 or 5 yards, but it's like he does it in a split second as Harris able to navigate his way to about the 16.
He just fits into tight windows that the line provides for him. And man, you're right, he just gets there in a hurry.
Going to be second down and 6 coming up for Danville. 10:02 now to play. Danville 28, Mifflinburg 13. Friday night football action here on WGRC. End of the game, of course, we'll be hearing from the winning coach. And thought there was going to be some movement there from Danville. No penalty flags coming out, though. Here's a handoff to Harris, and Harris is going to be gobbled up at the 19-yard line as the Wildcats pounce. Defensive pressure getting in that time, and that'll back this up to being a third down and 3rd and 8.
Really good penetration there by Michael Antoniak. He's been disruptive all game long. He's done a great job of getting to that backfield.
The senior at 6'2", 215 on that defensive front. Mifflinburg playing a 3-4. He's on one of the ends there. So here comes Danville. Let's see if Mifflinburg's got another stop in them. 3rd and 8. Riley under center. Pro set, 2 in the backfield. Again, Carson Persing split out near side. And this is the way that Riley looks. Rolls to his right, looks in the corner of the end zone. He's open, and it's a touchdown. Little curl route into the corner there into Grope. Giving a little bit too much cushion as Carson Persing has touchdown number 4 tonight.
What a game. What a game. 4 receiving touchdowns. No one has been able to cover him tonight. He has been fantastic.
He came out with an outside release, ran inside. DeGroat just kind of gave up on it. Then he went to the back corner of the end zone. And I'm here to tell you, Riley has been incredible throwing the football tonight. That ball was right on the money.
He's done well throwing, but also on the run.
And he can kick. Here comes the point after attempt. He's still perfect on the season. It is up, and it is through with 8:52 to play. Danville 35, Mifflinburg 13 on the Friday Night Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Freeland's Harley-Davidson of Bloomsburg is supporting WGRC. Since 1990, they've been selling new and used bikes, parts, and accessories. Their on-site service department performs repairs, restorations, and customizations. In-house financing is available. Bike storage is offered from November through April. Located along Route 11 with hours Monday through Saturday, their phone number is 570-784-2453 on the web at freelandsharley.com.
Don, Zach, and Steve in the third at South Williamsport 34 and Muncie 7. And in the fourth quarter now, it's Montoursville 14 and Warrior Run 7. Now back to you.
All right, thanks, John. And coming up next week, our game of the week, Warrior Run at Mifflinburg. Well, here tonight, Danville hosting the Mifflinburg Wildcats, and it is Danville 35, Mifflinburg 13. Been an entertaining ball game here tonight. Some big plays all around. 8:52. Remaining in this one. And again, when you look at the combination of Riley and Carson Persing, and those guys are going to be around next season as well. KJ as a junior and Carson just a freshman. There's some big football ahead still here at Danville. Here's the kick. It's a line drive fielded by Stahl on the run at the 8, 10, 20. He's to the 30-yard line. Another big run back, and he's going to be brought down right about the 34-yard line. So, again, Stahl showing dangerous opportunities there in the return game for the Wildcats.
And Stahl made a beeline over there to catch that ball cleanly so that he could get the return, and he did a good job cutting up field after that and getting good yardage.
That was a line drive. Couldn't have been more than 15, 20 feet tops at its highest, and he, as you said, got under it in a hurry. So here comes the Wildcats now. 1st and 10 from the 34. And we've got a timeout on the field. It's going to be a timeout charge to Danville. We'll take a 30-second break as well. Back with more fourth quarter action coming up. Danville 35, Mifflinburg 13 on the Friday Night Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Underwriting WGRC Friday Night Football. is Better Business Solutions of Danville, providing sales and service of personal computers and the software that makes them function, offering support for both the home and business user. Better Business Solutions, located on the web at wearebbs.com. Their telephone number is 570-275-5844.
Listener supported.
WGRC Lewisburg.
WJRC Lewistown.
WCRG Williamsport.
WZRG Cultmont.
And WGRC.com.
8:45 to go in this one. Danville 35, Mifflinburg 13. Wildcats with the football. Fakes the handoff to Breed. Instead, it's going to be circling around and end around to Wrights. And Wrights covers a lot of ground, but most of it is west and east. Never really gets north-south. It's going to be a gain of a yard, maybe two. It's going to be second down and nine coming up for the Wildcats. Trying to do a little misdirection there. Faked it to Breed, but Wrights never really got an open enough lane to get that corner turned on the far side of the field.
It was a reverse, and Danville was disciplined. They did a good job of tracking them down. They weren't fooled.
So now second down and nine. Wildcats from their 35-yard line. Stahl and Wright split out near side. One receiver to the far side. DeGroat hands it off instead to Mason Breed. Breed's got room, 40, and he's got a first down and just plows forward to the 46-yard line. Another big carry for Mason Breed.
I have to tell you a funny story. I was standing and one of the officials walked by during a timeout. I guess it was at the quarter. And he just looked at me and he said, 37 is pretty tough, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
I'm not getting in his way, that's for sure. First down and 10 right now. Wildcats on their 46. Playing it all the way through. And this is where, again, you like to see that your guys don't stop competing. It's been their theme. Trips far side. Now one player coming back in motion. Here's a little screen play to Breed, trying to get him on this near side. Stiff arm to midfield. Danville had that played so well, but a simple power move from Breed with a stiff arm turns what could have been maybe just a 2-yard gain, and it actually turns it into about a 7-yard gain.
I feel like we've been saying it all night, but he pretty much drove two players 5 yards. It's just crazy how powerful he is.
So now it is Mifflinburg onto the Danville side of the field at the Danville 47. Second down and three coming up for the Wildcats. 7:25 to go. It's a Danville 35-13 advantage. Been an entertaining ball game here tonight, but for Mifflinburg, it's just been too many big Danville plays. Back to throw. DeGroat rolls right, looks downfield, fires, and this time it's caught. A first down catch as he finds Riley Stahl, and that is at the 38-yard line. And right now Mifflinburg's going, where's that passing? That was the best throw of the night so far from DeGroat.
Yeah, and Stahl did a great job of going down to get that ball.
DeGroat's made some plays with his feet, but to this point, ineffective in the air. But that a nice passing catch. First down and 10 now coming up. Mifflinburg is on the Danville 38-yard line. DeGroat shotgun, hands it off, and this is going to be to about the, it's Andrew Deal, I imagine, at the 37-yard line. I didn't actually see the number, but just knowing that when Danville tackled him, he stopped running, I knew it wasn't Mason Breed, so it was pretty clear it wasn't him. Andrew Deal indeed did have the carry for a pickup of one.
Well, Nathaniel Rosen got in there and walloped him, and he is a big guy, 6'3", 205, and so he was the bigger man in that collision.
6:36 to play. Second and nine coming up, Wildcats from the Danville 37. Thanks for joining us tonight. Friday Night Football, the game of the week. By the way, you can check out the schedule for upcoming games. Next week it's Warrior Run at Mifflinburg. You can catch the schedule at wgrc.com/football. DeGroat's going to keep it himself. Runs right side, and he is tripped up and brought down. And the good open field tackle there. Mason Raup, the freshman. We mentioned about him being a tackle machine coming in tonight, averaging over 10 tackles per game. Made a great one right there.
Yeah, I was going to say really, really good discipline. DeGroat gave a great kind of fake to kind of show maybe he was going to pitch it, and then he takes off. But they didn't fall for it. Really good discipline again by Danville.
Third down and nine now coming up for the Wildcats. They need something big right here. DeGroat rolls left, looks downfield, throws, airs it, and it's going to be intercepted if held onto. Yes, it is a Danville interception at the 27-yard line. Kind of floated it, trying to find Riley Stahl, and nothing doing. Danville's defense makes the play.
Looked like it was Jaden Diven, number two, on that interception.
So Danville comes up with another turnover as Mifflinburg earlier with a fumble. This time it's an interception, and Danville now with that 35-13 advantage and all the numbers on the scoreboard stacked against Mifflinburg, just 5:34 to go, and they trail by three scores. Here comes the Ironman, K.J. Riley under center from the 28-yard line. And it's going to be a handoff as we have some fresh jerseys in there, as that is going to be the handoff to
Jack
Smiley. So Smiley with the handoff, and I noticed it was a different face here on the near sideline. Of course, Carson Persing has been just eating up all kinds of big plays, and well, didn't see his face here on the near sideline on that last play, so kind of missed him. He's been getting used to calling that number 17 all night. Loss of two on that play. Second down and 12. Danville coming up. Tight formation with one split out far side. And yes, Carson Persing is on the sideline right now. Got some... KJ still running the offense, though. A handoff right side. Not much there. Penalty flags come out late. That time, the carry.
It's Ty Stauffer, number five. And the Mifflinburg defense got a handful of face masks.
And it wasn't one hand. There were about three of them on there.
Must be why we have three different flags from three different places. One for each hand on the face mask. 5:06 to go in this one, so the penalty yardage is going to be a five-yarder marked off here against Mifflinburg. That puts Danville on the 33-yard line. It'll be second down now and six coming up for the Ironmen. Danville tonight, of course, playing at home. They'll be at home again next week. They'll host Milton. K.J. Riley letting that play clock get lower and lower. No play clock visible here at the field, but 4:40 to show on the game clock. Handoff right left side, and not much there at all, as it was Smiley. Not much. It's going to be a loss on the play.
Yeah, Ethan Hoy came in and took him down really quickly. Great penetration by him. I'll tell you, it feels like this game really turned on two plays. The big pass play to start the half, and then the fumble, which made it went from 14-7 to 28-7 really quickly. But if you take those away, I feel like Mifflinburg has been there the whole time, but they just wasn't able to make it a game at the end.
Too much K.J. Riley, too much Carson Persing. Danville now third down and 12 from the 26. Riley again letting that play clock go down. Two in the backfield for him. Quick draw up the middle to the 30-yard line.
It was a fumble, I think.
That came out.
Yeah. Well, Danville was right there.
So it was Stauffer with the carry for Danville. So fourth down. Mifflinburg is going to get the football back. Again, running out of time, trailing by three touchdowns here in the fourth quarter. Mentioned about Danville, they have their opponent next week, Milton, here at home. Then they'll have a couple of big road games at Central and at Montoursville. As for the road ahead for Mifflinburg, they'll go home against Warrior Run, and then tough tests on the road for Mifflinburg at Mount Carmel, at Loyal Sox. So no doubt a big, big moment for Mifflinburg to try and bounce back next week when they play the Warrior Run Defenders. We'll have that as our Game of the Week. There's a nice little preview of the excitement, reasons to tune in each Friday night for our Game of the Week. We'll be glad to bring you again Warrior Run at Mifflinburg next Friday night. Well, timeout on the field. Let's take a timeout as well. 2:58 to go in this fourth quarter. It is Danville 35, Mifflinburg 13. High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
So Serving the residential and commercial construction needs of Pennsylvania's heartland is CR Builders & Sons of Northumberland, providing single room and full structural remodeling, as well as repairs and handyman services. Projects include custom homes, additions, decks, and patios. The telephone number is 570-551-6711 or on Facebook at CR Builders & Sons LLC, a proud supporter of programming on WGRC.
Top matchups from around the region. It's the high school football game of the week on WGRC's Football Friday.
Well, it is fourth down, a punting situation. One more of those, it's going to turn into a Danville first down, but still it is a fourth down and three. Danville has the ball on their own 35. Again, comfortably in front now, 35-13, although it's not been comfortable most of the game. This game was 14-7 at the half. Been a big second half of big plays for Danville. Riley standing on his own 23-yard line, takes the snap, gets that kick, and it's a fairly high kick. It's going to be received by Deal. 35-yard line, 40, takes it to the far side of the field, gets the corner. He's at midfield to the 45. They've got two good returners here, both Deal and Stahl. And so Mifflinburg's going to have some good field position as they will have it on the Danville 42.
One thing about Mifflinburg that's been impressive is just there's really no quit in this team. You know, there's only 3 minutes left, not even 3 minutes left in the game, but they're still fighting. I thought Deal just had a great return there, really working hard. We'll see if Mifflinburg can put together a score here.
So here comes the Wildcats with 2:43 to go. Again, looking to try and finish strong. And, Steve, you know, it's one of those things you kind of sense that the end is coming, but at the same time, finishing strong in a game like this, entering a big matchup at home next week against Warrior Run, important to have a strong finish.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, this is a classic example of these two teams matching up. It was not a good matchup for Mifflinburg. They had a hard time on contain on the corners. They had a hard time covering what – I tell you, this young man, Carson Persing, is one of the best wideouts I've seen in a long time.
And he's a freshman.
he's in that Julian Fleming kind of category. He's unbelievable. His patterns are incredible.
It'd be fun to watch him develop, yeah.
But give K.J. Riley credit. He's had the ball on the money all night.
Here's a handoff. This is going to be Stahl with the carry inside the 20, 15, 10. And bounced out of bounds right there at the 10. There was a big personal foul penalty that had that play starting from the 27-yard line, but a nice 17-yard gain there for Stahl. So Mifflinburg now knocking on the Danville door. They're going to actually put him out at the 11, so they could still get a first down. It is going to be first and 10 from the 11-yard line.
Really good play design to get Stahl free, and then his speed did the rest.
So here comes Mifflinburg now. 11-yard line, fakes the handoff. Now comes the Stahl, and Stahl is going to be gobbled up in the backfield at the 14-yard line. That time, Danville watching for it, and they are able to bring him down.
Went to the well once too many times. It was a similar action in the backfield. It was too slow developing, and they were ready for it this time.
Well, we'd seen some substitutions earlier from Danville. Same here for the Wildcats, as Wrights is in at quarterback at the moment. So now it is hitting the two-minute mark in this fourth quarter. Mifflinburg trying to get one more score here before this one comes to a close. Trailing 35-13 from the Danville, 15. Wright's going to roll, try and sprint it out. He's got some speed, 10-yard line. Gets to the 8 and out of bounds. Good job stepping out of the way of that one, Steve. Nicely done. Still fleet of foot, I see.
I can back up quickly.
Well, glad you stayed upright. That's good.
40 time isn't good, but I can back up.
The shuttle's a little bit better.
Wright's showing some speed. He's in, you know, for DeGroat here now, running the offense, and they're just showing you, sprinting him out here near side of the field. Got that corner. Makes this now a third down and 7 scenario. Wildcats just 1:13 left to go. 2 timeouts still left for Mifflinburg. Faking the handoff up front. Wrights rolls, throws. Nobody out there to the far side, but Wrights knew he was out of time. And here comes a penalty flag, and this is going to be against Danville as Tyler Seamus kind of hit maybe a late hit there on Wrights.
I don't know. Boy, maybe I'm too much old school, but I think when you throw the ball, you expect to get rolled up. But officials are never wrong.
Well, the result definitely going to make this a first down now for the Wildcats. Going to put them inside the 5 to about the 4-yard line. So here we have first down and goal. 1:05 to go for Mifflinburg. Danville leading 35-13 here. Week 4 of the high school football season almost in the books. I formation. A little motion up front. No penalty flags. Here comes Stahl trying to get to that end zone. Did he break the plane? Yes. The officials say touchdown. A 5-yard touchdown run for Riley Stahl.
It was really good effort at the end of that run. He was stood up a little bit, but he just kept trying to drive into that end zone and finally was able to get the ball across the plane for the touchdown.
So, again, trying to finish strong here. Mifflinburg, although it's going to come down as a loss, they put the ball in the end zone. And now see if they opt to go for 2 or... So Mifflinburg does call a timeout here with 59 seconds to play. We'll keep it at the field and score right now showing Danville 35, Mifflinburg 19. Again, big plays abounding, but it's been Danville 4 touchdown passes as K.J. Riley finding Carson Persing time and time again. The junior to freshman connection, the first one at 11-yard pass, and then back-to-back, one was in the second quarter and one in the third quarter, but the same exact play, a hitch and go, 49 yards for the first one, 48 for the next one, and then just a little bit ago, a 19-yard touchdown pass. Those two have been dynamic together, and they piled on some big numbers.
Yeah, they have just been phenomenal. Steve had mentioned before the route running of Carson Persing. He is really advanced. He's only a freshman, and yet those hitch and goes, the curl route, he's been really, really technically sound along with his speed.
Well, as a freshman, and they list him at 5'8", but of course we'll see a little more growing to do there, make for a tall target. Could be quite a force to be reckoned with for sure. He already is. So now we've got the extra point attempt, and it looks as though Mifflinburg's going to opt to go for 2 here, earlier missing an extra point. So Wrights takes the snap, looks to his right, comes back, running out of time, still scrambling right, across the middle of the field. It's going to fall incomplete. Touched a couple of hands, most of them the guys in orange. So it's an incomplete pass on the two-point conversion. We'll take a break here. 59 seconds to go. It's Danville 35, Mifflinburg 19 on the high school football game of the week.
Coast Transmissions of Shamokin Dam. Mike Bordner, owner, is sponsoring in part tonight's WGRC High School Football Game of the Week. Since 1986, Coast Transmissions has provided service and repair for automatic and manual transmissions for domestic and most foreign automobiles and light trucks. Open Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located near the intersection of Routes 11 and 15. Coast Transmissions of Shamokin Dam at 743-1115.
Catch all the game action. It's the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Well, tonight, a lot of action from Danville High School and the Danville Ironmen with the majority of the big plays, and they have a 35-19 lead. We've got 59 seconds to go. Thanks for joining us for this high school football presentation. By the way, you'll be able to listen to the game if you like to listen to it all over again, relive the moments. Well, we'll have it for you posted early in the week on Monday at WGRC.com/football. Onside kick attempt here. A little squibber as it's going to go out of bounds. Penalty flags come out. May have been offsides even before Stettler even got his foot against the football. So march off a little penalty yardage and see if Mifflinburg opts to try an onside kick once again. Two-score game. Coach Jason Dressler playing this one out and saying, hey, let's get some situational football here, Zach, you know, to see if we can come away with an onside kick. Now Danville, of course, has had the, if they weren't already ready for it, which I think they kind of were, they definitely are now.
Yeah, but still, I mean, I like the attitude. Hey, let's try to get the ball back. Let's try to do something with it. I've been impressed by Dressler and his coaching of this team.
He's been a man in the sideline for quite a number of years, and glad to have the 3-0 start, although it's going to turn to 3-1 after tonight. Here's the kick, and nice job by Dressler getting his hands on it. Almost bobbled it, but able to secure the football, and Danville will have it, recovering the onside kick. Danville will have it first and 10 from the Mifflinburg 46.
Yeah, I thought Dressler did a good job of just looking that ball, and it bounced off a little briefly, but he did a good job to grab it and get down.
So the Mifflinburg Wildcats, I mentioned, they're going to go to 3-1. Danville also going to go to 3-1 with the victory here tonight. So the Ironmen again sitting at 3-1 as they'll be hosting Milton next week. Well, guess you can call it victory formation here for the Ironmen with 58 seconds left to go. Mifflinburg can only stop the clock once should they opt to do so. They have just the one timeout. But the quarterback going to take a knee, and that would be K.J. Riley, set to finish it off here for the Ironmen. So this is the only moment we really can say that we've seen Danville go in reverse tonight. Steve, it's been all forward, and it's been all power. It's been all aerial attack. It's been full steam ahead, but this is the one moment they're content just to dial it back, take that knee, and enjoy a win.
Boy, they are a handful, and I think as we get into the middle of this season and beyond, there's some teams that are going to be scratching their head how you try to defend this offense. It is a potent offense.
And there's another snap and another knee, and that'll do it. The Danville Ironmen. Clock still shows 10 seconds, but this one is over as Danville defeats Mifflinburg 35-19. Exciting. And, you know, Danville, maybe it was a little bit of a sluggish start to the season. They narrowly defeated Shikellamy, had the heartbreaking loss to Loyal Sock, but it could just be now that the Ironmen are finding their stride, and even amidst some of the coaching, off-field news and things like that, Coach Brian Raup doing a good job, and Chris Coombe co-coaching this team with him, keeping the squad together, and Steve, it looks like they're playing really their best football of the season, as evidenced tonight in the way they handled Mifflinburg.
Oh, boy, they were hitting on all eight cylinders. I mean, on both sides of the football, special teams, I mean, every aspect of the game, they played extremely well, did not make mistakes, did not get silly penalties, and it's an impressive team.
Well, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll have some final thoughts from the field. We'll also hear from head football coach Brian Raup, or I say head football coach, co-head football coach, I guess we could say, interim as they're taking it to the end of the season. And or is he coming over to talk to you now, Steve?
He is.
I think so. Let's talk to Coach Raup right now.
Coach, that was an impressive game. You have to be pretty excited about how your team played.
Oh, I'm very excited. These guys, we made a couple adjustments at halftime. They came out, executed wonderfully. They really gutted this one out. It was a great win.
Hey, if you look at all phases of the game, offense, defense, special teams, there really wasn't a weakness tonight.
No, there wasn't. We were well-balanced. The kids, like I said, the adjustment at halftime really made us come out strong in the second half. We balanced it out with a strong run game with Jagger Dresser doing a great job, Joey Harris. I can't say enough about that offense right now.
K.J. Riley and a young man by the name of Carson Persing. It's unbelievable. That kid's a freshman.
Yeah, they have some sort of connection. I mean, just that that pump and go. They just looked at each other. They knew it was on. He broke out, and it was a touchdown all the way. So it was awesome.
There are some coaches in the Valley that are going to see this and see some film and are going to be scratching their heads. Where do you go from here?
Well, we just got to keep getting better. We got to limit the penalties. That's the big thing. On defense, we got to tackle better. I mean, we know that. We're young. We still got to be tackling better. Breed ran well, don't get me wrong, but, you know, we got to get guys to the football and make better tackles.
I think short of an armored vehicle, you're not going to stop Breed.
And we knew that. He's a tough kid. He's a very good runner, so no doubt about it.
Well, Coach, good luck as you go on. I think you should be proud. The kids have responded well to this whole situation, and we look for great things.
I agree. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Very happy. You could hear the smile all the way up here, Steve. That's Brian Raup again leading on the sidelines here, and Danville in the win column. We'll take a break. We'll come back with some final thoughts from the field. It's in the books. It's Danville, a winner tonight. Week 4, 35-19, a winner over Mifflinburg. Back with more in a moment.
Robert Marks Sr. of Marks, McLaughlin & Dennehy, attorneys at law in Danville, is pleased to support WGRC's presentation of the District 4 High School Football Game of the Week. providing guidance for cases such as personal injury, automobile accidents, criminal defense, real estate, wills, and adoptions. Located at 48 West Market Street in Danville, Marks McLaughlin and Dennehy, attorneys at law, 570-275-3411.
Supporting WGRC is Horizon Federal Credit Union, serving residents throughout North Central Pennsylvania, providing a range of banking services, including interest-bearing checking accounts, as well as auto, home equity, and mortgage loans. Online and mobile banking are available, with branch locations in Williamsport and Lock Haven, and ATMs elsewhere in Lycoming and Clinton counties. Online at horizonfcu.org.
Agent Jeff Connor and the staff at the Allstate Insurance Company in Lewisburg are sponsoring WGRC, featuring 24-hour customer service and online policy access, providing a wide range of Allstate insurance products. They also offer investment advising and financial management services. Jeff Connor's Allstate Insurance Office at 1524 West Market Street in Lewisburg at 570-523-9500. And at agents.allstate.com.
Football Friday. Regional high school football action on WGRC.
And lots of action it was tonight from Danville High School as the Ironmen in the win column knocking off Mifflinburg 35-19. Both teams now 3-1 on the season. And we heard from a very happy coach, Brian Raup, as all phases of the game playing well, but that dynamic offensive playmaking ability, Riley to Carson, Pursing just too much to handle there.
Yeah, I think we talked about adversity and how Danville, I think, has faced adversity both on the field but also off the field. And I thought they responded really well. They played their hearts out. I thought all of their playmakers made big plays. So you mentioned K.J. Riley and you mentioned Carson Piercing, but then he had Carson's brother, Ian, making a couple big-time catches and runs. You had Jagger Dressler, and you had Joey Harris making big-time runs. And that offensive line, the line did a great job of opening holes for the running back, and they gave K.J. Riley protection all night long.
Well, we mentioned about Danville. Next week they'll be home. They will take on Milton, then on the road for a pair of games at Central and at Montoursville. And in a moment we'll be hearing from John Callahan as far as the scoreboard tonight. Steve, you had a chance to see Mifflinburg, of course, as well. And the Wildcats, while they do suffer their first loss of the season, this was their biggest test, and they knew that coming in tonight. Still, we're seeing a team here. This is a solid football team. Mason Breed, a big part of that, but there's more to the team than just Breed. Next week they'll be home for Warrior Run. We'll have that as our game of the week, and then big tests at Mount Carmel, at Loyal Sock. Real important for them to try and come back with that bounce back win next week.
Well, absolutely, and make no mistake, they played a good football game tonight. They hustled. They gave Danville a real handful of times. Danville was able to move the football through some individual great efforts. It wasn't like a total collapse. It wasn't like Mifflinburg was outclassed. There were some mismatches, I will say that, and that occurs sometimes. Sometimes the other guy's a little faster, a little bigger than you are. But Mifflinburg is fundamentally very sound. They did a lot of good things tonight, and I think they're going to be a very tough out for a lot of teams as the season goes on.
And again, next week we'll have Warrior Run at Mifflinburg. And last check, I knew that Warrior Run was giving Montoursville a pretty good game. We'll find out how the scoreboard is looking as we head back to the studios producing tonight and sharing the scoreboard. It's John Callahan.
Okay, Don, this is the way things went tonight. Montoursville beat Warrior Run 28-7. It was South Williamsport 40 and Muncie 13. That's a final. Southern Columbia 62 and Shamokin nothing, also a final. The rest of the games are either late fourth or early fourth if you're Central Columbia. So this is the way the rest of them go. Midwest 48, Shenandoah Valley 6. So nice win for Midwest there. Central Columbia leading. Actually, they're still playing, but looks like they should be able to win that one. Central Columbia 43 and Hughesville 7. Again, they're early in the fourth. I think it was homecoming there. Loyal Sock 42 and Bloomsburg 14. That is in the fourth. Mount Carmel 34 and Jersey Shore 18, still in the fourth quarter. Lewisburg 41 and Milton nothing in the Tomato Bowl, still in the fourth. And Selins Grove leading Shikellamy 37-6, still in the fourth. Most of those games, pretty much decided there. Now back to you.
All right, thanks, John. Appreciate that recap. Again, a lot of excitement here tonight. But the Danville Ironmen, the majority of those big plays, four touchdown connections, K.J. Riley to Carson Persing, and also other touchdowns in there as well, including a big touchdown run from Dressler. So the final score, 35-19, as Danville comes away a winner tonight. Final thought, Steve, you're on the field tonight. You saw these two teams match up, and again, entertaining. Great ball game between these two teams tonight. A lot of entertainment.
It really was. And what I enjoyed was some of the individual performances. It was unbelievable to see a freshman perform at the level I saw Persing tonight. If you heard the comments from the coach, a lot of eye contact, a lot of patterns change just because they've done a lot. And I'm just trying to imagine 4 years from now. I mean, it's frightening. That young man is very talented. But Danville, I thought, especially offensively, did a great job just by the formations they had in the field, gave Mifflinburg a lot of problems.
Zach, again, welcome to the broadcast booth tonight. It's been great to have you here. Your first night on our Friday night football cover, so we'll look forward to having you back. And, again, you took it in from a great vantage point here. Thanks for describing the action and your final takeaway.
Yeah, I mean, I think Steve, you really hit the nail on the head. There's just a lot of great performances. I really want to highlight Mason Breed one last time. I think one of the advantages of Danville is they had so many playmakers. And while I think Mifflinburg has other playmakers, Mason Breed really was a one-man show and a one-man wrecking crew at times. I thought he was just a great it was just a great individual effort despite the fact that they lost. I thought he's a really good centerpiece for that team, and I really agree with both of you. I think Mifflinburg is going to be a tough out moving forward, but Danville, man, they have coaches are going to see this team. I mean, they're sound offensively, defensively. I thought they played really, really well, and despite the fact that Mason Breed gave them some difficulty at times, they shut down the rest of that running game, which was very potent.
Well, it was a lot of entertainment. Thanks for joining us this week for High School Football Game of the Week. Final score from Danville, the Ironmen in the win column, defeating Mifflinburg. Final there, 35-19. Our thanks to John Callahan producing tonight. Also, the guys joining me here at the field, Steve Bish on the field, and Zach Guggenheim joining us in the press box. I'm Don Casteline for the entire crew saying good night. Final score, week 4, Danville 35, Mifflinburg 19. Join us next Friday night. We'll have Warrior Run at Mifflinburg. Should be fun. Have a great night. Enjoy the weekend, and keep it tuned right here to WGRC.
You've been listening to Regional High School Football Action on WGRC. Brought to you by the generous donations of the following grant underwriters.
Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Steininger's Laundry, Freeland's Harley-Davidson, Basin Coffee Roasting, Better Business Solutions, CR Builders & Sons, Marks McLaughlin & Dennehy Attorneys, Horizon Federal Credit Union, Jeff Connor & Associates Insurance, J.R. Judd Violins, Culp's Transmissions, Melcott Radio, Millville HPS, Pine Barn Inn, Pondus Farms.
Join us again next time for our broadcast of exciting regional high school football action on WGRC.